morning, everybody. Matt Pavala here with you until 5 a.m. on 720 WGN Post. White Sox baseball. White Sox hold on for a win in Seattle. They're back at it tomorrow evening. We've got Northwestern football during the day today, right, Raj?
Yeah, we do. It's the time is 2:30. That's the kickoff. But everything starts at noon. WGN's got a new thing going on. N Zone, as in Northwestern, the letter N.
Okay.
Zone.
Nice. I see what they did there.
Yeah. Starts at noon near the southeast corner of Ryan Field.
Okay.
That's up in Evanston. That's in Evanston.
So we're doing our very own Northwestern version of like game day?
Yeah, something like that.
Games?
Yeah.
And who's hosting that?
I would imagine it's Dave and the entire sports department, or at least those who will be at the game. The
entire sports department.
Well, we've got a lot.
All hands. We do kind of have a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not for a shortage of people.
Yeah, no.
I'm sure that
so we got
Dave.
An hour and a half. No, two. Wait, did you say it starts at noon?
Yeah, starts at noon. The kickoff at 2:30.
So that's
a big
show.
Yeah. Well, this is the home opener.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were on the road for the first game.
That's right.
Remember, they were on the West Coast
and
in Stanford.
And then they had last weekend
off. Right. Mm-hmm.
And who's coming to Ryan Field tomorrow?
Later today. UNLV. So I have. I have
led
double
by Jerry Tarkanian. Did you know he started coaching the football team?
Tarkanian?
Yeah.
After I left Vegas?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
You know, he had some scandalous issues there.
I
right,
reported
the
on those.
Team.
I talked to him on the phone about those.
And now he coaches the football team.
Wow. Actually,
is Tark the Shark still alive?
I will look that up. I do know that he had...
So what years was he coach? I want to say that was in the 90s. He was coaching the basketball team to infamy, right?
No, that he was coaching him in the 70s when I was there.
Well, I didn't pay attention back then.
Well,
I know of him pretty well, so he had to have been there much later than that.
Yeah, I think he made Vegas. You know, he almost went and coached head coach of the Lakers.
Get out of here.
No, I'm not. This happened when I was working there, and I filed these reports. I called him up at home, mm-hmm. and I filed the reports with the Associated Press because it was big news.
Sure.
And his lawyer, I think it was his lawyer or somebody's lawyer associated with that, I think it was his lawyer, was murdered. And this was when Tarkanian was in negotiations to become the head coach with the Lakers.
Is that because the Lakers didn't like the way the negotiations were going?
I don't know. Said, well, you know he what? Coached in Vegas. Come on.
Send you a message?
Probably.
Eesh.
Jerry Tarkanian passed away in 2015, February 11th.
That's a while ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he actually will not be coaching tomorrow? That was a misstatement on my part?
Yeah, that was.
Apologize for that.
He was coach at Nevada, UNLV, 73-92.
Ah, I was right.
He was with the Spurs in 92 and Fresno State, 95 to 2002. He was in trouble with the NCAA and had a lot of problems otherwise, so to speak. He was a high school coach before that.
Well, I imagine that's a lot of, would guess that's how a lot of college coaching
probably
might start out.
Yeah.
A couple of years of high school coaching. All right, so Cats at home against UNLV. I'm assuming Cats are big favorites. They're going to have to get it back going here because they had that tough start at Stanford.
Yeah.
Toughest opening, I mean, I guess there were a couple of top 25 teams that played each other for openers, but usually you get a couple what you hope are cupcake games in
mm-hmm.
to build things up.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, Northwestern had to travel out to Stanford.
Not only that, but then they've been off for a week.
And then they get the week off.
Or 2 weeks, yeah.
So hopefully they're pumped up and ready to go tomorrow. And then I would assume next weekend would be the Big Ten opener. Are they only playing two preseason games?
Maybe. Well, it would have normally been three if they had played last week.
Well, because they had that week off, I'm guessing maybe there's a week that's supposed to be their week off later that they'll play somebody.
Oh, else. I see what you're saying.
That's my guess.
Yeah. Well, let me see here.
We're skipping a game.
So, Michigan State will be in town on the 21st, and Northwestern at Wisconsin on the 28th.
Okay. Can you keep going?
Hold on a second. Bear with me here. So, what did I say? On the 28th? 8th.
The 28th at Wisconsin.
And then on November 5th, Northwestern at Nebraska.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Somebody will be traveling.
I don't think I'm going to that game.
Okay, all
right. Because that's the weekend after, the weekend before that, Ohio State comes to Nebraska.
Oh.
I think we're going to go see that one.
And then Ohio State on the 18th is here taking on Northwestern.
Okay.
Then we've got Iowa in town on the 26th.
Okay.
Then Northwestern goes back out on the road, taking on Indiana.
Okay.
Then they stay home on the 9th of, November 9th, hosting Purdue.
Okay.
UMass on the 16th.
Okay, so there's their other non-conference game, University of Massachusetts.
Yeah, and then Minnesota on the 23rd. They're still at home.
Very interesting.
And then last game of the season, it looks like, on the road. At Illinois, right.
I always close with the rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the date on that one?
The 30th of November.
So right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well, hopefully they get it started today and get off to a good start this year.
That would be nice.
You mentioned Nebraska because my son Jack is attending the University of Nebraska. They were playing at Colorado last weekend. The year before, last year, Colorado came to Nebraska. This is like a rivalry game, I'm assuming they play every year. And Colorado beat Nebraska. This year, Nebraska marches into Colorado, takes a 17-0 halftime lead, just manhandling them. Goes to overtime and they lose.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they fell out of, they were ranked 24th opening week, fell to 25th for last week, and now I'm sure well out of the top 25.
Yikes.
But hopefully they'll get it together. They got a good team.
Still got a long ways to go.
They do have a long ways to go, but a short time to get there.
Yeah. Oh, and an update, because I'm sure you would have asked.
Oh, Carmel won. I saw that.
Oh, good.
You're going to tell me about the Evanston Wildcats?
Yeah. They started out with such great hopes on the first game of the season. They won pretty big against a team that normally beats them.
Okay.
And last week they got beat big. This week they got shut out. It was something like 28-0. Horrible. Yikes.
That stinks.
Yeah, yeah. Tough start to their season.
Yeah.
So we're all caught up.
All right, Roger. Well, welcome back. Welcome back to Jess. Our producer Jess was away last week at a wedding in Iowa. Jess, can you turn on your microphone for a minute and chat with us?
Hi, Matt.
Hello,
I
Jessica.
Missed you guys.
We missed you too. How was the wedding?
It was good. It was very interesting.
Why was it interesting?
Well, Friday evening I had got in. It was like a 5.5-hour drive because it was right past Des Moines.
Okay.
And I kept passing all of these road signs that said, don't pick up hitchhikers.
Okay.
So I was
so you
little...
picked up a hitchhiker?
Well, it was just a new... No, I did not pick up a hitchhiker, but it was just a new experience to, like, see some strange road signs.
Okay.
So I had celebrated with my girlfriend on Friday evening, and we went to a country concert.
Nice. This was the bride-to-be?
No,
or just somebody else that was coming to the wedding too?
Yeah, just a friend in the wedding.
Okay.
But her and I went to college together, so we had met up for a couple hours. And then after that, then we had the reception or the pre-party, right? What is it right before the wedding?
The rehearsal dinner usually.
Yes.
Okay.
So that was Friday, and then the wedding was Saturday.
Was it a daytime wedding or an evening wedding?
It was a daytime wedding. It was very nice. It was from 10 to 5, like, in between, because they did dinner and then dancing afterwards.
So the wedding was at 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
And then immediately to the reception?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a daytime reception?
Yes.
And it was all done by 5?
Yep.
And then what do you do at 5 o'clock?
I went home. I drove back.
You drove back?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awful.
And then I took a nap.
I would hope. Well, you probably didn't get back till almost midnight.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. But the wedding was fun?
It was.
The dancing was fun? DJ or band?
It was a DJ.
Okay. And the big question I always have, I don't know what Roger's wedding question always is, but my question would be, did they do the hokey pokey?
They did not.
They did not.
They played a lot of country songs because it's like they're a very like country-esque couple.
Sure.
And they had their, like, reception out past, like, a forest preserve, but it was in this, like, what was it? It was, like, a restaurant that was, like, turned into, like, a resort type of a place.
Okay.
And so it overlooked, like, a little lake, and there was, like, a little deck that you could walk out on and take photos, and it was very beautiful. It was a very nice wedding.
Sounds very nice.
It was very peaceful.
Did they do the Macarena?
They did not.
Was there country line dancing? because they're more of a country couple?
Kind of like the, I know it's probably the wrong title, but the Electric Slide.
The Electric Slide.
Is that what it is?
I think they did that one. Although I was the first person on the dance floor. I got 90% of those people there to dance.
Nice.
It was very fun. I met my family for the first time, so that was exciting. On my mom's side.
Oh,
really?
Mm-hmm.
How were they there? They were at the wedding?
They were the one. It was my cousin that was getting married.
Oh, okay. So you met family on your mom's side for the first time in your life?
Yep.
That must have been wild.
It was kind of wild.
Well, that's cool. Did you make some friends?
I did. They were all very nice. And my cousin that got married, she has, her new husband has a son that's six.
Mm-hmm.
And he reminds me of like a mini Tommy at 6 years old. But like a
my
country.
Tommy?
Yeah.
A country Tommy?
A country Tommy.
Was he, like, ready to go mow a lawn or something? How did he remind you of Tommy?
Yeah, he was very into, like, yard work and gardening. And he, like his face looked like Tommy.
Aw.
And he had, like, on, a little plaid t-shirt and then jeans and then little cowboy boots. And I was like, how old are you? He's like, I'm seven. And he danced.
Aw. Well, that sounds like a good time.
It was very exciting. I missed you guys, though.
Missed you, too.
It was kind of weird not being here. I was like...
I'm surprised you didn't call in.
I was going to.
Were you up that late on Friday night? You were out a little bit late Friday night.
Actually, was I? No. I went to bed so early. I was like such an old person. I was like, I'm going to take a nap. My girlfriend, she had went out afterwards, and then she had met up with a... friend of interest, and then me and three other girls.
A friend of interest?
Yes.
Never heard that before.
That's interesting, yes. Mm-hmm. A friend of interest. That means a gentleman that she might like to get to know better?
Yes. And she wanted alone time with him at a bar establishment.
She said, you girls get the hell out. I'm doing this now.
Basically.
That's right.
And all of us were fine with it because we all drove 6 hours to go see her.
Yeah.
So we're all like, we're going to take a nap and eat some Cheetos in the hotel room.
Nice.
Wow.
Whenever I drive 5 hours to Iowa, I say, let's get some Cheetos.
Boy, living high off the hog.
At least I didn't pick up any hitchhikers.
That's true. Yeah. You didn't realize that we have those signs here in Illinois, too, right?
No, I did not.
You just need to drive near a prison.
Yep.
And those signs will be on the road.
Is that why they have them?
That's why they're there, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you drive down by Dwight on I-55, I think at a place or two you might see a don't pick up hitchhiker sign.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Other places where there are facilities.
I never knew that.
That's one to grow on.
I just thought that it was
now you know.
Public service announcement.
Yes, the more you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You're all welcome to join in and jump in at any time of the night. If you call, Jess will answer the phone and chat with you for a minute. If you text, I'll read it and hopefully share it on the air. Roger is in the newsroom. After the 2 a.m. news, we've got a filmmaker on with us tonight. Her name is Cynthia Lowen, and she's got a new... She did the movie Bully a few years ago. She has a movie out now called Netizens, and it follows three different women and the horrors that they have gone through by being harassed online, like insanely harassed.
Mm.
Well, not all online. One of them had an ex-boyfriend who... It's just amazing when you hear these stories, because you're like, how are guys this awful? And I know women are awful, too, but... The things that men have done to women.
Mm-hmm.
There's a girl who dated a guy. They broke up. He created a website to start posting awful things about her.
Oh, geez.
And posted website after website after website that haunted her for years and years. Ruined her career, ruined her life for like 5 years.
Mm.
Another person she follows is a lawyer in Brooklyn who fights for women. There was a girl who was sexually assaulted at 13 years of age in grade school. And the guy that did it filmed it and passed it around school. And the New York public school system did absolutely nothing to help her. And so just stories like that about where we're at in the world and how the world has changed and the things that we need to do to try to better regulate, you know, how people are protected in an age where, you know, one of the people says in the story, you know, 50 years ago, something happened. It got spread around a town. And that was bad. It was something you dealt with. Now things can be spread around the world and it can follow you for the rest of your life. And it's very difficult to get website hosting companies, to get the social media companies to take things down because of freedom of speech and, you know, the different areas that they're trying to protect freedom of speech. So just amazing to hear some of these stories. Cynthia will jump on the phone with us and talk about why this is so near and dear to her heart in a little bit. After 4 a.m., our old friend Lindsay Rice, who is a journalist in town and a photographer and the owner of the Tata Top. If you remember, we talked to Lindsay a couple months ago. Tata Top is a bikini top.
Right.
That looks like exposed breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the picture, I believe, is of a man's chest. That's the funny thing about it. But when you wear it and you see women wearing it, you do a double take every time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Supreme Court issue with that she can tell us about.
Oh.
And the Protect the Nipple Movement, or Free the Nipple Movement. 412 says, isn't it time to order the pizza? You know how Matt gets without pizza. Well, Roger already ordered two big pizzas that are sitting in the hallway.
Yeah.
He's just blowing through his bowling winnings.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't know why.
It's I'm okay with it, and I'm happy to. I got it in time for the sports guys. Enjoyed it. And now since I think they're almost all gone, it's up to us. Well, it's up to me and Jess.
Yeah. Yeah, right, no, I already had some, and I'm going to just screw it. I traveled.
Oh.
Bad day today. I'm just going to finish it out.
Okay.
But here's the thing now.
Yeah.
Now I want to find, like, a Coke, and there's none.
Oh, you didn't bring one with you?
Well, I'm off of it.
Oh, that's right.
For almost 3 weeks now.
Are you looking for just something very sweet or something fizzy?
Fizzy. I want a Coke or a Dr. Pepper.
Sorry.
I told him I would go on a mission to find it.
But is there anywhere in this building where Jess could find that?
No.
Nowhere. I know not on our floor, but not within this building.
Well,
are there
now? There
machines?
Is that floor. I think it's the second floor in the other bank of elevators. That's the exercise place. They might have machines in there. I don't know. I don't exercise.
I don't know what they have in there.
Plus,
because I don't exercise. Some sort of machines that make you exercise or something. It sounds torturous. So I just avoid that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I don't know if security would open it up or not, or if they knew where they were.
I believe that is open 24 hours.
Really?
When we first moved here and Steph took me on a little tour, by the way.
Yeah, I went on the tour too.
Congratulations to our old boss, Steph, who got engaged.
Yeah.
That's so cute. I'm so happy for her.
To one of our own.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Eric Rung.
Yes.
Very, very sweet.
I love love, guys.
the young.
The young and
the young and the innocent.
If I ever get married, y'all are still coming to my wedding.
We will totally come to your wedding.
Okay, good.
Once. So make it work.
Once?
Yeah, we're not coming to two.
No.
Well, I guess I got to find a good one beforehand, right?
Yes, better. That is the goal. Do that.
And not one out hitching by the sign that says no hit, don't pick
true.
A hitch.
I may need some help in that department, fellas. Matt's face.
You'll get there, Jess. You'll get there.
It's called adulting.
Yeah. It's no fun.
I do that fine.
It's no fun. That's for sure. All right. So, Jess, can we send you on a little assignment? Do you want to go try to find...
Am I going on an adventure?
What kind
yes,
of?
Yes, you can make that as an adventure, sure.
Yes.
Okay.
I think the first step might be to check with the security downstairs and see if they know.
Well, they probably would know because they probably get thirsty in the middle of the night.
They know what's going on.
Go buy a Coke.
Unless
even though I did see the young lady down there before with a very large bottle of water.
Oh, I thought you were going to say bottle of wine or something.
Oh, maybe it's
a bottle of wine.
I don't know what was in the bottle, but it looked like a large bottle of water.
Security might just be asleep down there, but
yeah, check with them. See what's going on.
All right, Jess, I'm going to give you my credit card because most machines say credit card now. I don't know if they will, but
what are you doing?
You come in and get
to
my
get him
card,
a soda,
and then if you'll walk, will you go do this? Are you okay with doing this? Are you sure? I'll run the spots. I'll control things. What if we said go knock off the CVS next door?
I will go there for you.
Well, they're closed. You'd have to actually break in. Would you do that?
Of course. As long as I don't get
Jess.
In trouble.
Well,
when the alarm goes off.
My car got broken into, by the way.
What? Where?
By your house? By
no.
grandma's house?
In the city, at Walgreens.
Oh, no.
Which not Walgreens? The one that right down here by Portillo's?
Yes. It was a couple, like a week or so ago. It's fine.
It's not fine.
That's like the second time, isn't it?
No, Roger Badish.
I thought you had one like a long time ago, like just after we moved here.
Oh, I don't know, maybe.
That your car got broken.
You should have never bought that new car. Seriously.
I think it's because it's new.
What did they take?
Nothing.
So that's what you get for being a millennial. That shows them.
There you go.
Break into a millennial's car. Nothing in there, sucker.
I know. I'm poor.
I work two jobs, buddy.
I piggyback off Roger's pizza.
There you go.
Yeah, rob me on a Saturday morning at 4. I might have some leftover pizza, but not now.
Or some Stan's donuts.
Oh, that's right. You brought donuts.
She brings in this box of donuts, and I'm thinking, all right, the diet's out the window tonight. Now we're going crazy, but there's nothing good in that box. What are those?
They're so good.
Well, no, they look terrible.
They have green frosting because it was green Thai.
Okay, so it's just like their plain donut with green frosting?
Yeah, basically.
I thought you were going to have those ginormous crazy things that they have.
No, they're pretty good. Cody really wanted you to have the donuts.
Why?
Because he thought it would be nice to bring it to the station and share.
Okay.
He's like, Matt would be very happy. I'm like, I think he would be.
Well, that's my reputation.
But donuts? Did you also see, there's also cake still over in the kitchen.
I didn't see that.
Or over by the refrigerator, our cake section. There's
that's why
cake
I
left over.
There would be soda that they had an event today. And
that's all gone.
All the soda.
Unless there's something in the refrigerator, but that's probably someone else's.
I looked through the fridge. There's nothing.
Oh, okay.
I was hell-bent on stealing whatever was in there tonight.
Yeah, there's some vegetables still over there.
Yeah,
there's some crackers.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good on the veggie front. Thank you, though. I think we're just fine. All right. Coming up in a few minutes, we've got the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Roger Badish. This week on Chicago's Best, it's all about juicy, meaty, tender goodness. From porterhouse steak to whole fish, it's Chicago's Best off the bone. That's Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Coming up right after the news, we're speaking with Cynthia Lowen, the director of the film Netizens, about women getting harassed online. Right now, Chicago Stories told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here's the news with Roger Badish. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for staying up late with us. Matt Pabala here with you until 5 a.m. on 720 WGN. We're live from our Skyline studios here in Chicago. Joining us on the phone right now is filmmaker Cynthia Lowen. She was a producer and writer on the film Bully that came out in 2011, a documentary that achieved a lot of honors. As it followed five families in schools across the country, and the bullying epidemic that goes on in our schools led to a lot of discussion and a lot of work being done on that. Her film that is premiering soon here in Chicago is called Netizens. I had a chance to watch it earlier today, and the filmmaker, the director, Cynthia Lowen, joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
Great. How are you, Matt?
I'm good. Thank you so much for staying up late and chatting with us. I imagine 3 a.m. Eastern time is not your normal interview time.
Well, you know, New York, they say, the city that never, sleeps.
That's true. People are out. If you walked outside right now, there's people hanging out, so might as well be awake, right? Well, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate it. I got to watch the documentary earlier today, and I've got to tell
you,
Cynthia, I'm guessing you get this from guys in general, and we saw a little bit of it, I thought, in the documentary, but a lot of us are pretty dumbfounded by the reality of what you guys face on a seemingly everyday basis. And your film gets into some pretty heavy issues of pretty serious harassment. And it's really just within the last couple of years that I think a lot of guys realize at all that women go through an insane amount of harassment on a daily basis. There was some sort of video, this is I think a couple of years ago now, it was somebody in New York being followed by a camera, but you couldn't tell she was being followed by a camera, is my guess. And, you know, she was wearing kind of a tighter, like, you know, yoga pant type outfit and was being catcalled every block she went on, like an insane amount. Are you familiar with this video, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I am.
And when I saw that, I'm looking at that like, well, that's not real. That can't be real. And I started talking to women I work with who were like, that's life. That's how life works. And I was really just blown away by it. And our eyes are being opened more and more to things. And the age of technology, it's interesting because it's you know, catcalling is a guy actually seeing a woman and having the gall to just do that. And just, hey, baby, and expect a response and get offended when you're not very pleased that we're just yelling something at you. And it's a real interesting psychological, what the hell is going on there? And but then on the other side, what you tackle in this film is people that really get to hide behind their cowardice and just destroy mm-hmm. people's lives from afar, hiding behind the veil of websites and social media and everything else. Was Bully a launching point when you made Bully, about 8 years ago now? Did you start realizing what was going on to a lot of women, or is this something that was really personal for you that you've experienced?
Well, you know, there's certainly a really strong connection between Bully and this film, Netizens. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, that all of us, when we're online, you know, we see, you know, to different levels, I would say, we see threats, we see the comments on YouTube videos. We'll probably have been sent something at some point in our lives. It's like, oh, hey, did you see this new, you know, leak of celebrity photos? So it's something that I feel like have become really like normal in our online communities. And in the same way that bullying, when we went out, set out to make Bully, we were like, hey, you know, like what's going on with kids and bullying in schools is really not normal. You know, the attitude was kind of like, well, you know, that's middle school, that's kids being kids, that's human nature. And what we were seeing in, you know, the spring of 2009 when we started that film were a bunch of suicides of really young children. And it was being tied to them having been bullied. And we were like, this is not normal. And this is not something that we have to accept as part of our, you know, day-to-day, like, acts of violence that we're just like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, that's just life. That's just middle school. So what we were able to do with that film was really show for someone who's going through that and for families how devastating it is and just how much it affects, you know, someone's whole life. And with that film, we screened it for 5 million kids free of cost with their educators, you know, across the United States. We had mayors in all 50 states screen it. We had it screened at the White House, and we saw this real shift. And I think the most important shift we saw out of that film is, you know, most schools now have some sort of policy. Even if it's not working, at least they know that they should be doing something. And this word is now part of like our lexicon, like this is something that's happening. So when I was finishing that film, people were saying, have you been looking at what's going on online? Have you been seeing what's going on online among kids? And frankly, I was like, yes, what's happening, you know, online with kids is really bad. But I also was like, I can't spend another, you know, year inside of a middle school. I love middle school kids, but it's like, it's rough.
Don't get me wrong, but you had a lot of it.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. And then of course, you know, what's going on with women online is like a huge thing. So in the fall of 2015, there are all these attacks on women in the gaming industry. And you may have heard of this. It was sort of called Gamergate.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so out of that, you know, I was hearing these stories like women being threatened with like really specific threats of violence and murder. And, you know, it's always like really graphic, like rape and murder threats. And a lot of women were having to leave their home. But what I was hearing was that their law enforcement was just sort of like, yeah, you know, I don't know. It could be someone next door. It could be someone 2,000 miles away. You know, turn off your computer. Like, call us when someone, you know, is actually at your door with a gun. Yeah. And that response I thought was really, like, you know, inadequate, especially in this day and age when most people don't deliver their threats. You know, they don't like write you a letter with a death threat,
right,
which would be dealt with really differently. Most of the time our threats and things like that are happening digitally now. So I wanted to start looking into that. And that's where I started filming with Anita Sarkeesian, who was one of the women who was targeted as part of those Gamergate attacks.
Well, you have a piece of the documentary where she is clicking on all the different, like, Twitter DMs or messages she was getting, and just boom, 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 showing them on the screen, and they're awful, and they're vile, and they're disgusting.
Yeah,
and,
they're, you know, really violent.
And it's so easy for somebody to make up. She showed this, you know, guy, we assume, just made up a Twitter handle, has no followers, isn't following anyone. It's just purely made to torture her.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I think that really shows what's kind of different. Like, men totally get harassed online. Men definitely get threats online. This is not only women who have this happening, but there's a few things that are different in the ways in which women are uniquely targeted, which is that it's really often really graphic, sexualized threats. Yeah. And, you know, for things like, so one of the other things that I uncovered was a lot of image, non-consensual image exploitation is sort of the official term, but, you know, revenge porn, aka revenge porn. So, you know, a lot of women in the film, for whatever reason, you know, whether they were coerced into sharing a picture, whether they were filmed without their knowledge, which is really common, or they were in a relationship with someone they thought they could trust and had shared pictures. And then what ends up happening is that those pictures become abused and, you know, spread all over these revenge porn websites or all over Facebook, or the perpetrator will email the photos to, it's always the same people. It's always like her dad, her boss, her workplace, her colleagues. And in that case, you know, a pictures of women naked or sexualized have a really different effect than if you're sending those of a man. And that's absolutely part of, like, that cultural, you know, deep cultural thing.
Right.
That we're still kind of working on here.
Yeah. We've probably got a ways to go on that. But yeah, there certainly is a difference. And, you know, with a few of the different people that you follow in the film, there's a scene where let's see, it's Tina, is it pronounced Rain?
Tina Rainey.
So Tina Rainey had a boyfriend, went bad, and he just starts creating website after website accusing her of all sorts of malicious things, and I'd be interested in the follow-up on why this happens. What is wrong with these men that do this? Because this is like, you know, this is the ultimate bad breakup. This is like, you know, in movies it would be stalking somebody till you kill them. Now it's like this cowardice hiding and doing this from afar type thing. But you know, just destroying her life, destroying her prospects for jobs, because now, you know, she tells a story about going on a job interview and it's great. Mm-hmm. She's got an offer and everything's good until she meets with one of the younger people in the company, who then naturally is going to say, oh, I'm going to Google her and find out more. And then all of these websites pop up, which say all these malicious, awful things. Suddenly she never hears from the company again. And there's a scene where I forget if it's at a Toastmasters meeting. There's something she's at where she's talking to a guy afterwards, and I feel bad for this guy that he ended up in your film, because he's just like, well, I don't know, you're kind of putting too much weight on it, right? And I was like, and she was so nice to him, but I was like, oh, dude, just shut up. Just stop talking. Don't talk. There's a camera right there. And he's like, I don't know, I think you just cut. This doesn't sound as bad, but in my mind, this is how he sounded. I don't know, I think you just, you know, you're giving it too much credence. You're putting too much, you know, you're thinking about it too much. And it's like, oh my God, and I guess it's good that's in the film, because that sums up the whole problem right there. That women are suffering and guys are like, I don't know, what's the big deal?
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing about that encounter with this guy who, you know, she's just shared, you know, in just total emotionally, she's like totally devastated, you know, and he comes up to her. But I love that the exchange starts with, it might be just because I'm a guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, that's her. Just stop. Just get out while you're ahead. It's cool. But, you know, then he goes on to say, like, what's the big deal? You know, just essentially turn off your computer and don't make such a big deal of it.
And who cares if the rest of the world knows this? It's only if you care about it that it matters. Yeah, that was really strange. And it's funny, as I was watching that, Cynthia, I was kind of like getting upset with Tina, like, she's like apologizing to, you know, you're right. You know, it's true. But on this other side, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, maybe you got a point there, but really it's, and she's so nice to him. I'm like, no, like you gotta, you know, slap him down with some words here and tell him, no, dude, here's the problem with the world, that you are saying that right now. And just like, it's fine. Cause you're going to raise some son to be a jackass who does stuff like this, or isn't learning ahead of time that we can't do this to people. You can't send stuff out and not care. It's amazing. At one point in your film, the lawyer, Kerry Goldberg, who's just so much fun to watch on camera. She has such life about her. But she's speaking at a conference, and she says, these are criminal acts. They just don't have a law yet. And that really, I thought, was fascinating, because people are being devastated, but there's such little help from law enforcement. Where is the state of laws being passed to help against revenge porn, against sharing these things, against, you know, creating websites just to hurt people? Because it sounds like the struggle is with whether it's the social media services or a web hosting company, because they want to defend freedom of speech very strongly, and we're all in favor of that. On the same wavelength, on the other side, you're destroying people's lives. You know, we can't scream fire in a theater. There are limits to our freedom of speech. How are things coming with regulations and laws to get passed to try to help stem this tide and put some teeth into stopping these things?
Yeah, well, I have to say, since the film came out, I am happy to say that New York has now passed a revenge porn law, and there's a number of states now that do have laws. You know, some states you have to prove intent to harm, so that really takes the teeth out of laws, because you can just say, oh, well, you know, I thought she'd be flattered, or I was just, you know, just joking around with my friends. So provisions like that really water down these bills. But there are states that have some really good bills, and I film with some women who, those stories aren't necessarily in the film, but I film with women who were able to get, you know, some kind of justice in states like New Jersey that have really good, strong laws for that very specific thing, revenge porn, which is like easier to, I think, outline and identify. As opposed to other kinds of threats or privacy violations. And I have to say, I think that in a lot of ways, the tech companies are really hiding behind this notion of, oh, well, we're just protecting speech. We're protecting the First Amendment. Because as you said, you know, threats to murder someone are not protected speech.
Right.
And yet you have women like Anita Sarkeesian who just, you know, are inundated constantly with violent death threats. You know, things like stalking are illegal. Things like video voyeurism, which is something that happens all the time, you know, where you'll see, you know, people who are filmed without their knowledge or consent, you know, even in public, like the whole phenomenon of upskirts. There's tons of these websites devoted to, you know, women in public who don't know they're being filmed. And I think that in a lot of ways, the companies are hiding behind this idea that they're just fostering the First Amendment, because it's expensive for them to have to actually go in and, you know, have staff on hand going through these threats, pulling them off, responding. So I think there's, you know, a real need for them to have policies that actually really protect the privacy and safety of their users. Because, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Google, these are companies, private companies, that can make choices about the kind of content that they want to prioritize or have available on their websites. And if, you know, death threats are something that they want to eliminate, they're perfectly well within their rights to do so. But I think that beyond that, this idea that it's just the internet, just turn off your computer, is really big, you know, for all of us. I hear it from all kinds of people. What's the big problem? Why don't you turn off your computer? Just change your password. But, you know, there's a case in the film where there's a young woman who someone has hacked, you know, into like everything in her life, her phone, her computer. It's someone, you know, she had met someone on a dating site. She decided she didn't want to see them. She never met them through this dating site. And then they start going after her. And lo and behold, she ends up being advertised on Craigslist. Her pictures are being used to advertise her for intimate encounters on Craigslist. And then the perpetrator is impersonating her to the men who respond to these ads and are sending men to her home,
right,
to her workplace. And, you know, those guys are also, they're being used also, you know, and it turns into a really dangerous situation. She had men who were trying to break into her apartment. And a lot of times what the perpetrators who are impersonating the women will do is say, oh, you know, I have violent fantasies. I want you to come and break into my apartment. I want you to assault me. I'll protest, but that's all part of this agreement that we have of this scenario. And so when this young woman called law enforcement, you know, numerous times, they would not respond. And when she tried to call, and this was going on for 4 years, that they were posting these ads like 10 times a week. This was not just like a one-off situation. It was like really, really in-depth here. And, you know, Craigslist was not preventing the perpetrator from using her pictures. And so, you know, the platform was also not preventing these ads from going up. So I think that that attitude of just like from law enforcement also of like, it's just the internet, you know, it's not real, is really pervasive. And so part of my thing with this, making this film, was to try and show, you know, no, it's actually really dangerous when you have, you know, men thinking they're showing up to have a date with you or more than that, at your door that you haven't invited there. That's dangerous when a website is going around with such bad information about you that every time an employer Googles you, you can't get a job. You know, Tina was in this for, and this was another interesting thing with all these women I filmed with. It wasn't just like this had been going on for like a few months. Yeah. It had been years.
Yeah. It's amazing. The movie is premiering here in Chicago on Monday, September 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at the Carasotti Showplace Icon on Delano here in Chicago. You can get tickets at netizensfilm.com, netizens, N-E-T-I-Z-E-N-S, film.com for tickets. On October 22nd, it's going to be available on Amazon and Google Play, Xbox, and Apple. I have a couple more quick questions, Cynthia, but I have to do the news. Since you're up so late anyways, is there any chance you'd be willing to hang on a few more minutes so we could talk just a little bit more?
Of course.
Cynthia Lowen, filmmaker, is on the phone with us talking about her new film, Netizens. Are doing a national screening tour again at the Carasotti Showplace Icon Monday, the 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Netizensfilm.com. We'll do a little bit more after we take a quick break and do the news here on 720 WGN. When we come back from the news, more with Cynthia Lowen, the filmmaker of Netizens, netizensfilm.com for more information. First, let's get some headlines. Here's Roger Batten. Matt Babala here with you on 720 WGN. Filmmaker Cynthia Lowen was kind enough to give us a couple more minutes of her time at 2:37 in the morning, 3:37 in New York City. You're probably heading to a club after this, something like that, living that crazy, you know, New York nightlife, right? You are so in jammies and like having a cup of tea right now, right?
Yeah, completely.
All right, a couple more quick questions. You know, it's interesting, at the end there before news, you were talking about how law enforcement is so like, well, when it's this, when it's that, when it's this, just ignore it, turn off your computer. And I wonder if we could get everybody to just look at it as, what if this was your son or daughter who was going through this? You would never tell them, just ignore them, or just don't worry about it, right? I mean, that would never be the advice you'd give to anybody you truly cared about. So why is that how we just dismiss this? It's really sad, I think, when we do it that way.
Well, you know, I think it's a really big problem, and it kind of, there's a few different things going on, and I think it's worth like unpacking. You know, I think on the one hand, you know, if you're getting death threats online, or you know, your nude pictures are on like 1,000 websites, and you've got people showing up at your door and you're terrified, or, you know, any number of the things that can happen. Someone's stalking you. You think someone's hacked into your phone and it's following you, or seems to know everything that you're emailing or texting because you think you have keylogger software or something on your phone. So, you know, when you call law enforcement, even though these things, you know, like death threats are against the law, stalking is against the law, video voyeurism is against the law, what will happen is the law enforcement official who shows up may just not really have training. You know, they may not be really digitally literate to like know, really understand how, you know, Twitter works, or what a cyber mob looks like, or, you know, why it would be problematic for your address to tied to death threats to be out there. They may not know about swatting. You know, swatting is a really common and super dangerous thing where someone will call a SWAT team and say that call the police and say that there's like an active shooter situation when there isn't, and you know, people have been killed from this kind of thing. So I think it's that the law enforcement official may does not really understand how the threats are working or what the online platforms are. And for them, they're like, I can't really like deal with that right now. Just like, you know, I have some person who's like physically harmed and bleeding over here that I need to get to, you know, just turn off your computer and I need to get to the thing that seems more tangibly urgent. But I think the other thing that happens is that they may know that this is a really big problem and that you're endangered, but it's really hard to get things. It could be hard if you have a judge that doesn't understand digital literacy. They may not issue a warrant for a search for an IP address to uncover who is sending the threats. Where are they coming from? Is it your neighbor or is it someone, you know, 1,000 miles away? So these investigations require resources. And if it's going up the chain and the people above you are not going to give you the tools and resources that you need to adequately investigate, you know that, you know, you're facing a real uphill battle from the whole system. If you know that prosecutors aren't going to prosecute these cases because they may not understand, you know, what's the difference between online stalking versus, you know, offline classic stalking. Are they going to go after digital stalking? Are they going to go after people who have these major privacy violations? If the state doesn't have a revenge porn law, you know, what are you going to do? Maybe the laws don't even support, you know, some of these crimes. So I think that it's not just that they are dismissing the crimes altogether. It may also be that they're just like, they feel like their hands are tied.
Let me ask you, because there's one piece of the film where one of Kerry Goldberg's clients, I believe it was, if I'm remembering this correctly, she had gone through a lot with her finding something out, and then when they find out who is tormenting her, the girl declines to press charges and just stops talking to police and just walks away from the whole thing.
Yeah.
And while that is so incredibly frustrating, I guess I could also understand where you just want this to end and you don't necessarily want to go through any more with it, having to prosecute and go through the trial and whatever else would happen from there. How tough is that for people like Carrie, who are trying to make an impact here? I know she wants to protect that one person and help them, and she did that. But then to not be able to prosecute the person or make an example of them or maybe make any real traction on the overall problem. Is that a frustration that's common?
Well, you know, so in this situation, as you said, this is the young woman whose pictures are being used to basically traffic her or, you know, advertise her for sex against her will online, and this has been going on for years. And so finally they were able to uncover who the perpetrator was. And once that happened, she just disappeared. She said, I don't want to go any further with this, and I can't cooperate anymore with law enforcement, as you said. And so I can't say exactly who the perpetrator was or what or why, but what I would assume is that she felt really endangered and she was afraid of pushing this forward because of who she'd learned the perpetrator was for her own personal safety. And, you know, that's a real issue. And the thing is, you kind of can't talk about digital abuse, online harassment, without also really talking about domestic violence. And it's a huge, what I uncovered in making this film is that, you know, you've got prominent people who get targeted by mobs who send them death threats. But I would say, you know, so many people who are victimized this way are in abusive relationships and they're trying to get out. And they're being threatened with pictures. They're being threatened that if they leave, you know, they're going to lose their children because the person is going to post, you know, compromising pictures of them or spread really terrible information about them. And they're afraid, you know, these these images and information you can spread out there with a click of a button can really ruin someone's life. And if you're afraid that, you know, the court may take away your children because, you know, there's nude pictures of you, and you're afraid that you're not going to be able to get a job because someone has just ruined your Google search results with all kinds of garbage, and you're afraid you can't support yourself, that has, like, you know, that classic kind of outcome for a lot of domestic violence situations, which is to keep someone, you know, under control and afraid, and afraid that if they leave, they're not going to be able, they're going to lose their family, they're going to lose their ability to survive. So it's a big, you know, that whole classic scenario is, like you were saying earlier, you know, why do people do this? Why is this happening? And I think that that's, there's a lot of different reasons, but that's the way that domestic violence has kind of gone 2.0 is a big part of it.
Was it tempting at all? Because as I'm watching the documentary, and that we can't find these people, we can't get law enforcement, and I'm thinking, well, there's ways if you have the means to figure out who these people are. Was there a temptation at all to figure out who they were and confront them on your end, or were you like, no, let's just focus on this side of it?
I felt like it was really important to show that these women were up against a system that was really making it impossible for them to get justice. And they were up against, you know, tech companies that were not, you know, removing the content. And eventually, I will say, almost all tech companies, you know, Google, Facebook, they all have policies now where revenge porn, Google will de-index revenge porn. Facebook across the board has banned it, and Facebook has done some things that are really effective, where they have technology now where once they've identified an image as revenge porn, you can no longer upload it or share it in any way across their platforms. So that includes on Instagram, it includes in private messaging. And so what they've done is really put in place some technology that stops the spread of this, you know, form of harassment, these spreading these images at the source, which is great. So, you know, these are all developments that have come along in the years since I started the project. But, you know, I felt like in a way, asking the perpetrator, would you ask someone, like, why did you punch her in the face? Or, you know, why did you, like, you know, hit her with a car? Why did you threaten to murder her? It's sort of like, that to me was less important than making that distinction of that's abuse, it's not okay. But if we accept that that's not okay, why can't we get justice?
Yeah.
And I will add, in a lot of situations, I didn't feel like it was safe for the women.
I would imagine that would probably be, in my mind, the biggest concern. Because I would say, well, if somebody punched somebody in the face, I wouldn't ask them because we already know who that is. The interesting thing here, or the conundrum, is who is this for sure doing this? Now, Tina knew who it was, but the other girl did not know who it was. And so I would be curious to have them be confronted and see what they would say and why this is okay in their minds. And I don't know. I guess that maybe that just gives credence to them, or gives them a platform they don't need. But I don't know. It's just fascinating to think, what is your state of mind that this, you know, no matter what somebody does to you, and maybe this, you know, if you have the most awful girlfriend in the world or boyfriend, and they're just the most mean, miserable person, that doesn't mean that when you break up that it's that you should be doing this to them. You should make a clean break and move on with your life, you know? And if you get dumped, that's part of life, and that's what happens, and some people just aren't meant for you. I mean, gosh, I imagine it goes to how they grew up, or how they were taught, or a mental health issue they have, whatever it is. It's sad that some people think that this is something that's important to do, because it's, and it's not just somebody leaving a nasty email or doing something once. I mean, you're following people who just decide that their life's work is torturing somebody, and they will keep this up forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, in some cases, it's just, you know, truly, it's like mental illness.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Well, it's got to be, right? Or maybe that's what I want to say to make me feel a little better about it, that it's not just people are this awful and cruel and nasty and evil, that there's some sad reason that they need help and they need to find help themselves. Well, let me ask you, because as you're detailing that things that have changed, there is a moment in the film where I think Anita is speaking to a group, and she says a lot of times people want to just say to me, but it's getting better, isn't it? Sort of dismissively, like, well, we don't really have to overly worry about this. You were detailing a lot of things just a minute ago that sounds like things are getting better. Are things getting better?
I would say in terms of revenge porn, I think it's so identifiable. It's such a kind of identifiable form of, you know, we can identify that and we can say that's not okay. And it's like, so I would say when it comes to revenge porn, yes, I think that there is progress being made, because I think that we're coming to a point where we can agree. And it's not just women who are victimized in this way. Like, there are lots of men. It operates. It's not as effective because, like, a picture of a nude man doesn't have the same, you know, baggage and doesn't come with all the stuff that a picture of a nude woman does if it's spread to her family, friends, and workplace. But, you know, it's not only women. It certainly happens to men. And I think that we're getting to a place where we can, like, recognize and agree, like, okay, that's not cool. Like, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. So that's changing. But I would say when it comes to, you know, other things, like, you know, every time Anita posts something, you know, she's just inundated with, you know, all kinds of garbage. And when it comes to, you know, actually the sort of everyday person who's being threatened, or, you know, thinks they're being followed, or their ex-boyfriend has hacked into their computer and is monitoring everything they do, and they're trying to get out of that situation, you know, things like that gray area of those, like, more nuanced things that are often more complicated, or, like, when is a threat a real threat? Is it, you know, if someone sends you a threat on Twitter, you know, how do you get law enforcement to take that seriously? Those battles, I think, definitely still remain. And you know, the other thing that I want to add is that a lot of men who have seen the film have shared with me afterwards, and especially in terms of Tina's story. So Tina was, you know, a Columbia Business School graduate, very successful businesswoman working on Wall Street. And after her ex posted, you know, numerous websites saying that, you know, she's an escort, she took, you know, work trips for money, she would abuse, you know, things that companies would look at and say, oh, like, I don't know what's going on here, but I don't want to get involved. You know, a lot of men have shared, you know, that they live in fear of having someone put a crazy website up out there, someone who maybe has some little thing from their history, their personal history, that they're afraid of them totally, you know, misappropriating and misconstruing and putting out there. And, you know, I think we can all understand the fear of having, you know, our most intimate things put out there and used against us. And it's, you know, it's been actually really great to see the response of men who are like, I really get it.
Yeah.
And I really understand how vulnerable we all are.
Yeah, I can imagine. Final question. So when Bully came out in 2011, that was released by the Weinstein Brothers, or the Weinstein Company.
The Weinstein Company,
And then you're making this film. I don't know what the relation was. You do mention the Me Too movement in this documentary, and Harvey Weinstein gets mentioned. How was that? Were you working with the company at the time when all this was going down and just like, oh, this is going to be interesting?
I know. It's a very interesting, you know, things have really come full circle. So, yeah, Bully was released. So we independently made Bully. And did not work with the Weinstein Company on producing the film, but when we premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival, the Weinstein Company bought it the morning after we premiered, and then we had our national, international theatrical release with the Weinstein Company, and then we did this big independently. We created the impact campaign for that film. So we did have to work with Harvey. You know, fortunately, I didn't have to work directly with him too much. Yeah. But, you know, we certainly did events and screenings and had to deal with him to a certain degree. Fortunately, as a documentary, you know, I don't think we were necessarily, you know, we didn't have to deal as much as others with sure. him. But, you know, it's certainly the elephant in the room, so to speak. And then, you know, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Carrie, who's one of the three main women in Netizens, you know, is leading the cases against him and is representing several women in cases against Harvey Weinstein. And she has been at the total forefront of you know, trying to get him to be held accountable for his actions. So it's an amazing, you know, I think really the transformation of the time we're living in, it's happening in front of all of our eyes. But in this way, it's been quite personal. But it's a, you know, it's an exciting time. And I hope that he will be held accountable.
You know, it's interesting thinking about the film Bully, because outside of the other disgusting allegations, he always had a reputation of being a bully, right? I mean, as being a hard-charging, get-what-he-wants type larger-than-life character. When you had to first meet him, work with him, you were kind of like, well, this is weird, because the film is about not being kind of like how you are. However, we really appreciate that you're going to get the film out there in front of all these people.
Right. It was a very, you know, like, odd experience. He's a terrifying person. I mean, he's just absolutely sucks all the air out of a room because his presence is just so, you know, he has such a sort of aggressive presence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it was a very odd experience to be getting this film out there and getting it, you know, doing so much work in, you know, in the world. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was certainly quite ironic and remains quite ironic that he was the one, you know, that they were our distributors.
Yeah. So I know that this has consumed, I'm sure, an amazing amount of your life, and you're just getting it out there and really promoting it. But I want to ask, what's next? What are you planning on doing next?
Oh my goodness. It's a great question. I've got some things up my sleeve.
Cannot say, apparently.
Well, I'm starting a project that touches on the opioid epidemic. Looking actually at a doctor who was convicted of selling opioids for cash, and I'm hoping to look a little bit more at. You know, we're hearing so much about the pharmaceutical companies, but I feel like there's been a real gap in exploring, well, what was going on between that relationship between the physician and the patient. And I think that we have yet to really unpack where did physicians, you know, perhaps not hold up their responsibility to their patient's safety and well-being by just prescribing these things like candy.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, yeah. I look forward to seeing that. In the meantime, everybody, the film Netizens is coming out now. It's premiering here in Chicago on Monday the 23rd, 7:30 p.m. at the Carasotti Showplace Icon on Delano in Chicago. To get tickets, go to netizensfilm.com, N-E-T-I-Z-E-N-S, netizensfilm.com. If you can't get out there later in October after the 22nd, be available on Amazon, Google Play, Xbox, and Apple. So you can catch Netizens there. It's an important documentary. Cynthia Lone, I really appreciate you taking all this time to chat with us. If you get through Chicago, we'd love to have you stop by sometime.
Thank you. you so much, Matt. It was a really great conversation. And I also wanted to add that we will be having a panel and Q&A with special guests that we'll be announcing shortly for that special one-night-only screening in Chicago. It'll be a great night.
Excellent. Okay, so film and discussion.
September 23rd.
Perfect. Yep. And tickets are still available, right?
Yep. Yep.
Netizensfilm.com. Cynthia Lowen, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Have a great night.
You too. We'll talk again. 2:59 in the morning. We've got the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up in just a couple minutes here on 720 WGN. When we come back from the news, Felicity Huffman sentenced to 14 days in jail. I disagree. We'll debate. Roger, here's the news.
Hit me up if you're feeling down, or even if you're just on my side of town. That is the reason. If you need me, I'll be around. Girl, anytime, day, night, rain, shine, 4 a.m. on the weekend, if you've been drinking, I don't mind. We will say we were moving on, but I ain't in no rush, girl, hit me up.
Jess, this was your date to the Green Tie Ball tonight?
It was. A friend of mine.
Friend of yours, who's married, has 5 kids. It was just a friendly date to the Green Tie Ball, but he's a pretty good singer. Oh, I accidentally turned you down there. Oh. Do you know nobody but singers? Is that all you know in the world?
Are
Roger and I the only two regular Joes that you know?
That's because we can't carry a tune. That's the problem.
I'm surprised she puts up with us.
Yeah.
I think you're great singers. I do a lot
because she hasn't had to hear us sing.
Yeah, right.
I do a lot of Jess Carr karaoke time alone, and people usually like to keep it that way. Otherwise, I would sing a song for you, too.
That's the best time. That alone screaming songs in a car time.
Funny thing is, Doc sent me
Doc from Kansas City?
Yeah, he sent me.
That's two presents
sweet.
He sent you.
I know. So he sent me, this sort of relates to the topic, but he sent me these books of, they're like notebooks, but the cover has like this like folder flap thing on it, but it has a guitar on it, and then he also sent me some country music CDs.
He sent you country
wow.
music CDs last time.
He did.
It was at that real heavy box that was sitting in the mail box over by the lockers?
Yes.
Oh, I was wondering who your secret admirer was.
Well, honestly, I didn't notice the name on it at first. I really just thought that it was business cards.
That's pretty heavy for business cards. Wow, would you buy 10,000 of them?
Well, I don't know how many we get. I've never had WGN business cards before.
I've still never gotten any.
I've never had. Well, I guess I had them when I produced way back in the day.
Well, yeah. Oh. Now it's like everyone's on your own, I guess.
I
don't know.
Some. I mean, I might meet some people. I might meet another musician.
Exactly.
Start handing out those cards.
Oh, man. I've got a little
myself.
Something. I know you're going to talk about some very controversial stuff here coming up, Matt. But I just read an article, was reminded that a 70-plus year tradition is about to end.
Ooh, well, let's try to guess what this is. Okay. Give me a category.
Boy, it'd be pretty evident if I give you the category.
Is it something at the University of Illinois?
No.
Okay.
No, it's professional.
Professional. Is it one of the professional sports? I don't know why I'm thinking this is
yes.
sporting related. It is sporting related.
Yeah.
A 70-year tradition?
Yeah.
70-year tradition in professional sports is about to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Over 70 years.
Over 70 years. It has to do with baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Over 70 years, a tradition is about to... Does it have to do with something controversial?
Extremely.
Okay.
Well, depending on your point of view,
sure.
But I would say extremely.
So is it with the Cleveland Indians?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe Chief Wahoo was getting retired.
Oh, good guess. But
that is not
no.
it. But it has to do with one of the Major League Baseball clubs, not
yes.
a minor league affiliate?
Correct.
Major League Baseball club, something controversial,
mm-hmm.
70 years. 70 years. So it started in the 50s? In the 40s?
In the 40s.
In the 40s. Something controversial. And it's not the Indians. Has nothing to do with the Cleveland Indians.
No.
Oh, God. Who else? The Atlanta Braves?
Nope.
The Tomahawk Chop?
Nope. Hmm. Wow. I'm surprised.
Is it like a rule change?
No. No.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
It's something that you've been able to enjoy all your life.
Oh, well, I know what this is not controversial.
I think it is.
This is, we're going to have our final Cubs game on the mighty WGN television.
That's right.
Because therefore, I understand forming your own network. I mm-hmm. totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand not leaving some games on the network that can broadcast them to more people. I mean, WGN television helped carry that franchise through some awful years in the 70s, the whole decade of the 70s,
right.
I guess, probably, right?
Pretty much.
And into the 80s, Harry Caray helped fuel their popularity by WGN being available in Iowa. How many busloads of people from Iowa would come in once a summer to Wrigley to see mm-hmm. a game and things like that? And now I understand the financial decisions and all that stuff, but you would think, hey, why don't we keep 10 games a year on WGN television to offer free to people to see? Because now, if you don't have cable, I wonder, I don't know all the details yet. I know it's going to be a Cubs channel, the Marquee Network, that's going to be available through cable,
right.
And I imagine through satellite.
And if your cable system doesn't carry it, you can't get it.
Is that true? There will be no, say, app that you could subscribe to or something along those lines?
Let me find
Hulu or Apple TV or something like
hold
that.
Hold on. Now, let me find that specific paragraph.
Although, I guess they probably can't because MLB...
Well, first of all, MLB...
MLB runs the whole digital
right.
thing.
You can't get... Because I have MLB on my Amazon Prime. That's a service you can purchase through Amazon Prime.
Right.
And the games they offer, at least the ones that I can see, I haven't paid for it, so I haven't seen the full service.
Right.
But on Amazon Prime, they kind of tease you
right.
with a line for MLB, and it shows which games they'll be carrying,
mm-hmm.
and never a Cubs game. I've never seen a Cubs game offered.
Well, and that's because they're available to you, and they want you to watch the local affiliate that's paying for it.
Probably. I
wonder, since that's changing, if this network will be looped into MLB.com.
Let me see here. So, beginning next year, Cubs game will be seen. By the way, this is an article out of Forbes from yesterday. Be seen locally on the Marquee Sports Network, set to debut early next year. New networks will, in many ways, function like WGN, even taking on TV personalities Len Casper and Jim DeShays. But it will come with a significant change. They will carry an additional cost on local cable networks. Fans will have to pay. The exact dollar amount is not publicly known yet to see Cubs games. And if their cable provider does not carry the new network, they'll be out of luck entirely. Because you always see the warnings, like on Channel 2 sometimes, when these cable operators get in a battle with the networks.
Yeah.
And says, as of next week, so-and-so network will not be available. You will not be able to watch your local news
right.
Because of the battle. They want more money or whatever. You see it all the time. And so that's what that is. If your cable network does not carry this option, then you can't subscribe to it.
Our friend Deanna texted, my Iowa cousins who live near Omaha became Cubs fans thanks to WGN-TV. That's how a lot of people grew up.
Yeah.
They became America's lovable losers because mm-hmm. of WGN-TV.
And then they went on satellite, remember?
Yeah, it was on the Superstation.
Right, and satellite dishes all over
the Cubs
the
and the Braves.
Yeah. Yeah, TBS, Superstation, sure.
WTBS, yeah, mm-hmm. it was a WGN-type station.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going away. So that's going to be interesting for them.
Yeah.
See how that happens. Okay, let's talk about this. Felicity Huffman
mm-hmm.
was, caught up in that whole scandal.
Where the college enrollment scandal.
College enrollment yeah. scandal, which dozens and dozens of people got arrested and indicted from, where in general people were, this guy Rick Singer was arranging either for people to take the ACT for them or for them to take it in a place where the proctor could then correct the answers. They were also, he was also accepting bribes to then have kids be recruited for a college sport, which they would never end up playing, but it would help them get into a school. There's all sorts of fraud going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Felicity Huffman, I read this story. I never knew, I don't know if she had already said it or not, but I never knew exactly what the story was on why she did this. Did she just think, you know, my daughter can't get in here, or we really wanted to get here? Because it was interesting because, you know, the two most famous names were Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin from Full House. And
mm-hmm.
Becky. And her husband, Massimo Giannulli, who was a famous designer, the Massimo brand, which mm-hmm. has been pretty famous over the years. They paid $500,000.
Wow.
In donations or something.
Mm-hmm.
Their daughter got recruited as, I believe, a rower and didn't row. And she has since left the school that she was at. But so Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin and her husband are fighting this. They're not, they didn't accept any plea deals, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Felicity Huffman confessed, threw herself on the mercy of the court, the whole deal. And today, or I'm sorry, on Friday, she was sentenced to 14 days in jail, like $30,000 fine, and 250 hours, I think, of community service. But 14 days in jail. And our good friend Heidi Stevens, the columnist for the Chicago Tribune, wrote 14 days. She tweeted something like, 14 days, what even is that? And I wrote back to her, too little, too much. And she said, too little. And I'm like, you know, I disagree. And she wrote, K, I wouldn't go printing up Team Felicity t-shirts. And I said, I would totally wear the Team Felicity t-shirt. Here's what I wrote on Facebook. I support Felicity Huffman. She made a stupid choice and she has paid dearly for it. I would rather she get double the amount of community service and double the fine. A lot of people are talking about how she cheated other kids. And that's been a big rallying point for people on this.
Mm-hmm.
Cheating other kids out of their opportunities.
Right.
I wonder how many of those same people did their kids' projects or helped them in some other way that got them an edge up on other kids. If you read her stories to why she did it, she at least had a reason that made some sort of sense, as misguided as it was. Somebody wrote back to me that what those people did, cheating other kids, was not illegal. And what Felicity Huffman did was illegal. And okay, I understand that. And if she was going to jail because of tax fraud or something else in this, and I don't know the legalities, then okay. But I think it's, basically we're punishing her for cheating the system that people legally cheat left and right in, you know. So, okay, if it's all about, if say your whole thing is, hey, you're cheating other kids out of their opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So if Felicity Huffman had spent $30,000 getting a group of the best tutors available for 3 weeks straight to pound into her daughter's head, here's what you need to know for these tests, here's what you need to know, and exactly what you need to know so you can get better grades, and she did it all legally and she got better grades, she's still cheating kids who can't afford to have all those tutors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, that's a legal version of it, but
that sounds logical.
But it's still, hey, we're cheating out another kid by having this big advantage. If she had just donated $30,000 to the college and then they welcomed her daughter because of the great benefactor that her parents are, and parents do that all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rich parents, then that's cheating other kids too. There's all sorts of ways that we try to give our kids a leg up. What I read from her, and I'm going to take her at her word for this, so her daughter has a learning disability.
Okay.
And so test taking is tougher for her, and I've got cousins that have that issue, and I know that, you know, that's a real thing in life.
Mm-hmm.
So if her daughter really has that, and she was struggling, and it was going to be a struggle for her to get in, you could understand her desperation. I might say, well, then she should go to community college, she should this or that. Well, her daughter wants to study to become an actor, and USC has a good school, and she said, all I wanted is for my daughter to make it or not into that school based on her acting ability, because that's what she was going there for.
Mm-hmm.
The test scores were going to keep her out of there when her acting hopefully would have, you know, gotten her in there. And so she's looking at it as, my daughter's going to be denied an opportunity because she has a learning disability and can't do well on this test. And she's not coming here for what that test is covering. She's coming here to study in the School of Acting, and I want her to be able to get in based on her acting. When I read that, I think, I kind of get why you did what you did. I know it's wrong. I know it was illegal. And so she should be punished for that, and she has been. So, you know, going through all this is a pretty good punishment. Paying a $30,000 fine, double what she paid to the guy, is a pretty good punishment. Community service, 250 hours right now of it, is a pretty good punishment. I don't think there's a need for her to spend 14 days in jail. And some people will think, oh, that's not enough. And I imagine it's a deterrent for other people, but I just think it's kind of silly that she's spending 14 days in jail.
Is the daughter still in the school?
That is a great question. I don't think she ever ended up attending.
Remember, there were two actresses that were accused.
So her and Lori Loughlin, whose daughter was in the school and has since left the school.
Then that's the one who was left.
Yeah.
I remember there was one of the two, the daughter had left. And I'm not sure now if Felicity Huffman, if her daughter is still in. Shall I look it up?
I don't know if she ever went. I mean, maybe she was going to be a freshman this year. I just don't even know.
Oh, all right.
Felicity Huffman's letter to the judge. She wrote, I honestly didn't and don't care about my daughter going to a prestigious college. I just wanted to give her a shot at being considered for a program where her acting talent would be the deciding factor. Huffman said Singer told her that her daughter's scores would be too low to get into college and suggested that she allow him to have a proctor correct the girl's answers. She said she was initially shocked that such an arrangement existed and thought about it for 6 weeks. I felt an urgency which built to a sense of panic that there was this huge obstacle in the way that needed to be fixed for my daughter's sake, she wrote. As warped as this sounds now, I honestly began to feel that maybe I would be a bad mother if I didn't do what Mr. Singer was suggesting. Huffman also said she had always found motherhood bewildering. Quote, I so desperately wanted to do it right and was so deathly afraid of doing it wrong. I was always searching for the right book or the right piece of advice that would help me help my daughters or keep me from making the mistakes that might damage their lives. She said she ultimately talked herself into the idea that all she was doing by cheating was giving her daughter a fair shot. I see the irony in that statement now because what I have done is the opposite of fair, she wrote. I have broken the law, deceived the educational community, betrayed my daughter, and failed my family. She said when her daughter found out about the cheating, she looked at Huffman with tears streaming down her face and asked, why didn't you believe in me? Why didn't you think I could do it on my own? To me, if that is true, that's better than 14 days in jail. I mean, that's very tough for a mom or a dad to hear from their child. In my blind panic, I've done the exact thing that I was desperate to avoid. I've compromised my daughter's future, the wholeness of my family, and my own integrity. I have deep and abiding shame over what I've done. Prosecutors argue that Huffman knew that by cheating on the SAT, she was depriving another student who did not cheat. They also said her actions cast doubt on the college admissions process and on the legitimacy of learning disabilities, despite the privileges she and her daughter already enjoyed. Quote, she could buy her daughter every conceivable legitimate advantage, introduce her to any number of useful personal connections, and give her a profound leg up on the competition simply because she'd be applying to college as the daughter of a movie star. The defense asked that she be allowed to serve her community service at the Teen Project Community Coalition, two Los Angeles-based nonprofits that work at risk youth, et cetera, et cetera. I think she has to report now in October.
Yeah. I'm not seeing it. I'm skimming through a couple of articles and just read that same quote of the conversation she had with her daughter. This is the oldest of the two daughters is the one that's involved.
Yeah.
She was thinking of doing it for the younger daughter but decided against it. I cannot find anything right off the top of my quick search and skimming of whether or not the daughter is still in the college. But again, I mean, if I understand the prestige of the school, the acting school, they also have very, very good film school.
Yeah.
One of my former students from Evanston went there. But I don't know. I'm going to side on the side that everything needs to be the same. Everyone needs to get the same, has to have the same chance.
Which is never the case anyways.
Well, I understand that. And
I mean, that doesn't mean you should get to break the law to
no, take you, your you share don't get to break the law. But that. There's also the fact, I think, that a lot of families know how to work the system. Now, whether that's breaking the law or not, I don't know. If it involves payments of $15,000 to this person or that person to help improve the scores of the test, or if it's money under the table for a program at the school, whatever it might be, maybe if it's just knowing the right people to get your kid into the school. I mean, it's a slippery slope. In my mind,
it is,
and I think it. I don't think it's as widespread as we may think it is, but that doesn't excuse.
Doesn't make it right. I agree.
Exactly.
Let's keep going on this because I've got a lot more to say on that
okay.
as well.
Oh, that's right.
Robert's
I got to do news.
Robert's on the phone. He wants to jump in. You can too. 312-981-7200. We'll read your text. We'll take the calls. We'll do some news headlines. Here's Roger Battish. Eddie Money, who left behind a career as a New York police officer to become one of the top-selling rock stars of the 70s and 80s with hits like Two Tickets to Paradise and Take Me Home Tonight, has passed away. He was 70 years old. A statement provided from the family said Money died Friday morning in L.A. Money had recently announced that he had advanced cancer. In 87, the husky-voiced blue-collar performer received a Best Rock Vocal Grammy nomination for Take Me Home Tonight, which featured a cameo from Ronnie Spector. It is with heavy hearts that we say goodbye to our loving husband and father, the statement said. It's so hard to imagine our world without him. However, he will live on forever through his music. We're talking right now, though, about Felicity Huffman and the whole college scandal and what should and could and would happen in such instances like this. I think that, you know, she didn't need the 14 days in prison. I don't think it's too little. I think it's fine or too much. That a bigger fine would have been better, something that's actually helping other people. Maybe the judge feels there needs to be a deterrent aspect. I don't know if 14 days is a true deterrent aspect or not in a situation like that. But let's jump on the phone, 312-981-7200. Robert is in Oak Brook. Hey, Robert, how are you this morning?
Very well. Great show as always. And I'm telling you, I don't think she should have gotten, I think maybe $30 fine in 1,000 volunteer hours.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, this is my problem. It's not what you know. It's definitely who you know. Okay. My kid went to ITT Tech. Mm-hmm. You remember ITT Tech?
Sure.
It cost me $40,000. He loved it. Okay. Half the kids that went to that supposed college got federal grants. So our tax dollars, our federal government said that that was a good college until they found out that this, that, and that. So all of us that put our kids to there, and their degree is worthless now, even though my kid's got a great, great job, mm-hmm. but that's 40 grand gone. The guy who started that, he's a multimillionaire. The federal people that gave our federal tax dollars to put kids there for free, all that money's gone, and they're somehow wealthy. So I don't understand how our federal government can take our federal tax dollars and apply it to certain areas and then do this to people who they're trying to get a leg up. That's all she was trying to do.
She was, but she was cheating the system. I mean, she was doing something illegal.
My God, we live in the United States, like you said. Everybody who can cheat.
Well, hey, it's not like she lives in Illinois. She was in California.
Well, California is just as bad as Illinois.
Well, they're not.
I met a lovely girl. I went to Notre Dame. I met a lovely girl who got. There's so many scholarships out there that people just they abuse them.
People do. And listen, I'm not saying she did the right thing, and I don't think it was the right thing. But I agree that people abuse things in 8 million different ways.
Yes.
And she could have just gone, you would think, to the dean of the acting school and said, "Hey, my daughter's a good actress. She's got a learning disability. She's not going to be able to get her scores up high enough to get in here, but I'd really love to see if she could. Could she audition for you? Could she, you know, use your Felicity Huffman-ness to get the meetings that it takes to get it done?" Because let's face it,
it's not
all based on the scores. There's so many other factors that these schools look into.
And that's true. I went to Western Illinois, and again, I have a learning disability. Okay, it took me 6 years to get my degree, but I got it, but not through scores, but through what you just talked about.
Yeah.
Going and actually talking to people and saying, I have good things that are going on, and then I'm not so good in this area.
Yeah.
And you're right, Sue. She probably could have done it a completely different way, but I don't know. And again, we all look at it from the point of view that she's a movie star.
Yeah.
So she thinks she's above everybody.
And I don't think in her case she is.
Yeah. I think she's a very nice person. She just got caught up with the wrong crowd.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it, Robert. Have a great weekend. And that brings up a point, Roger, here, I think, is that so she didn't, like, go out and, you know, there's a middleman here.
Right.
Right. I think he's offering these services.
Right.
And she's like, okay, you know, knows it's wrong. I shouldn't do this, but God, I want my daughter to get in. She's got these problems. Okay, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. I think the weight of the world should be coming down on that guy.
And he's already facing charges.
He is. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know she made a decision to break the law provided by this guy,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, I don't know what the comparison is, but
a comparison might be, say you've got a bad traffic ticket, driving under the influence, let's say, and you know a couple of people on the police force in another city. And you kind of go to him and say, "Hey, you know, do you know anybody over in the city where I got my DUI? Yeah, we're friends with so-and-so. Hey, can you know, here's a little something. Maybe you can talk to somebody over there." Well, it's kind of the same thing.
In my mind, it's more like the guy from another police department says, you're sitting there talking to him, mm-hmm. and you're like, "Yeah, I got a DUI. Oh, where at?" "Oh, in West Dundee."
Mm-hmm.
"I know a guy in West Dundee. Mm-hmm. If you donate some money to their fund, I'm sure I could get him to let you off."
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
I'd be like,
yeah.
"Well, all right, I'll do that. That's right." Mm-hmm. Now, I got busted for doing something illegal. I did something wrong. But this jerk is the one that told me to do it.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel
same
like,
effect.
Now, and I don't know if Felicity sought this guy out or how they got in contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, you know, that's the dude that's offering, you know, this is, in my mind, this is sort of like punishing the person buying the drugs instead of the drug dealer.
Yeah.
It's illegal to buy the drugs. I shouldn't be doing it. But that dude's offering drugs. Bust him. The drugs shouldn't be available. Right?
Yeah. No, I get it.
And I know she's only getting a very short sentence, a very small thing. It's not that big of a deal. It'd be very interesting to see what happens to Lori Loughlin. And I wonder if
now the precedent's been set in this case.
Well,
didn't Loughlin plead innocent?
Yeah, she's fighting it. That's what's going to be interesting. She's going to go to court.
Yeah.
And I bet she gets off. I bet she gets found not guilty somehow.
Hmm.
And the funny thing is, Felicity Huffman spent $15,000. Lori Loughlin and her husband spent $500,000. Somebody texted, and this is terrible, but I'm going to read it anyways. They said, "How dumb was her daughter that they spent $500,000? It's cruel, but Roger, if you think about it, you got to think, wait a minute, they got a point there.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it taking $500,000 to get your girls into the school? I mean, that's insane.
Unless they just kept paying and paying and paying.
Well, then
like,
they,
you know,
then
oh, I
really
got you this
dumb.
Far, but now if you want to go this far.
Well, then they're really
gonna,
dumb, right? Because
right.
for $500,000, I'll tell you what, I'll be your broker, mm-hmm. and I'll go to any school you want in the country, and I'll talk to them personally, and guess what? Your kid's going to get in. I doubt there's a school in the country that's turning down a $500,000 donation to one of their programs.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know these schools are all on the up and up, and God bless you all, but you all have different varied procedures on how you let people in. Let's face it, every school lets athletes in that might not get in otherwise because they're athletes. In fact, that's how Lori Loughlin's daughters got in. They're being recruited for this $500,000 by the rowing team.
Yeah.
And then the rowing team doesn't bother putting him on. But those are the guys that really should be getting punished the most out of this. The dude that set it up, the rowing coach that, you know, is taking a bribe to let these girls in. Those are the people that truly, in my mind, committed some fraud here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they shouldn't be paying $500,000 to do it. But their punishment is they're stupid enough to pay $500,000 to do it.
Right.
Here's your punishment. You're out $500,000 because you're really dumb. That's your punishment.
I mean, does it cost? It doesn't cost $500,000 to get through 4 years of school, does it?
No, it costs maybe $250.
Okay. And that's if you don't get any financial assistance.
Yeah, which I imagine Lori Loughlin's daughter is not.
Right.
She got the cash.
But if you got $500,000, you've got $250,000 to go ahead and get her an application and let her get in on her own wits.
Well, she wasn't going to get in on her own wits.
Well, how do we know?
Well, here's the only way I know.
All right.
I'm going to assume nobody's dumb enough to pay $500,000 if you could have just gotten in on your own.
No, I get that.
We're going to have to spend $500,000 to make this happen.
I get that. But, you know, is it a case of, oh, mommy, I want to go to school X.
And the crazy thing about the Lori Loughlin case is from everything that we've read, the daughter didn't even want to go.
Right.
It's like they're forcing her to go, like any good parent's going to force their kid to go to college.
Yeah.
Just different methods. You know, I didn't get to pay $500,000 to send Jack wherever I wanted to. I
mm-hmm.
just, you know, he applied and he got in and we got some financial aid and it all worked out great. But she's forcing the kid to go. The kid doesn't even want to be there, wants to go there to party. She's making all this money as an Instagram influencer anyways. Doesn't
yeah,
really need
true.
College.
Probably and didn't now, even need her parents' money.
And now she's lost all that because
yeah.
of this.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, in the tabloids this week, they're worried that Lori Loughlin and her husband might be on the ropes now. Might be problems mm-hmm. at home. You would imagine that would be quite the stress on the family.
I think it's tremendous stress. Anything like that is stressful. Highly stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. First of all, the daughter didn't want to go to the school. She didn't want to go to school.
No.
Daughter is making tons of money on her own. Now she's out of a job. The husband and wife, maybe the husband didn't want the wife to do this, Loughlin to do this. I don't know.
Well,
maybe there was dissension to start with.
It's interesting because he got indicted, too, unlike Felicity Huffman's husband. What's his name?
The actor.
William H. Macy.
Yeah.
He didn't get indicted. So
no.
somehow he wasn't as involved, even though they have his voice on phone calls too. But Lori Loughlin's husband, those two are hand in hand in this thing.
Yeah.
So he must have known what was going on.
Mm. It's, man.
Maybe he didn't agree with it, but he went along with it.
I went to, even though my parents didn't want me to, I went to SIU.
Right.
My dad, because he served in the military, got what was then called a national student, I think, if I get the words wrong, I apologize, national student defense loan that I had to pay back. That's how I got through college.
Okay.
On a loan that my dad guaranteed because of his military experience, he qualified for this loan, and care packages from my mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got through 4 years of school. I am not the sharpest tack in the box. I barely got in with my ACT score. I think I was on probation my first. Let's see. I went in we were on quarters, not semesters, and I went on a summer. I started in the summer quarter. So I think I was on probation the summer quarter, maybe the fall quarter also. I made it through all 4 years.
Good.
No favors whatsoever from my parents. I worked. I had a school job to help pay things. They did not think that I would not succeed in school. They were not happy with the school I selected. But I know this is, God, 46 years ago, 47 years ago now. But still, we didn't think of it back then. There were no classes run by private people to help you get better ACT scores. There was no such thing.
Deanna, our friend, texted in, my neighbor's son has a tutoring franchise. It's amazing how lucrative it is and how much parents will pay to improve their kids' ACT scores.
Gosh, just, I understand the desire to offer your child as many opportunities to have a better life. I get it. Any parent would want to do that.
Yeah.
But how about having faith enough in your child to achieve at their own rate, at their own level? You're not the one who's going to go to college again for your child. You already went to college. Let the child, let the child do what they want to do. If they don't want to go to college, if they want to go to a trade school, let them go to a trade school. If they don't want to go to college or a trade school and they just want to go out and explore the world, let them go explore the world. Don't try to control their life in order to give what you think give them a better life. It's not sounding right. I'm listening to myself say this, and I hope that people are understanding the point I'm trying to make. Would I do anything for my kids? Yeah. Did I help them succeed at college? No. They went on their own. They did their own. They made their choices. We supported their choices. We supported them financially. But we didn't pay anyone to make better tests. To help them get a better test score. We didn't pay anyone to get them into a specific school. Nothing. And both kids graduated college. They paid the rest of their finances after they were done. In fact, our son insisted on paying it himself. And so, and I think they're better people because of that. Yeah. I think they're adulting, which I think a lot of what college is having your child grow into an adult and take on all those responsibilities. But they became adults there, and they are better adults for that because they did it on their own. They had to face the music. And I think if we had, first of all, they would have told us no. But if we had gone and done something like this, I don't think that our children would have been able to stand on their own two feet as they have all these years. Just my thought.
A15 says, it's not the money that'll make her think. She'll spend all the money in the world on the fine and not care about it because she's rich. Well, when I say, don't bother with the time served, double the fine, double the hours of community service. I say that because that is going to help other people, you know, I would assume. If you could take $100,000 of her money and maybe make that scholarships for underprivileged kids or whatever, or the extra time community service, that's at least helping do something. That's something good coming out of this.
Right. Someone else will benefit from that.
Yeah, versus the 14 days in jail at the taxpayer's expense. That I don't think is going to change her in any true way, shape, or form.
Right.
All right, we are way behind on break, so we're going to do that. And then after the news, we've got our friend Lindsay Rice, owner of the Tata Top, talking about a case that's going to the Supreme Court in the Free the Nipple movement. 312-981-7200 is the number. The stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up here in a few minutes on WGN Radio. Nicely done, Jess. Matt Bubala with you here, 4:07 a.m. on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our number. Our old friend Lindsay Rice is on the phone right now. She is the CEO of the Tata Top. Good morning, Lindsay. How are you?
Hi, Matt. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for jumping on at this ungodly hour.
My pleasure.
You're a married lady. Were you guys out all night partying and you just got in?
Maybe like 8 years ago, but no, we just had tacos and basically came home and fell asleep.
Oh my God. You just reminded me of something. My wife accidentally found this song about tacos this week that made us cry laughing. And I got to find out what it is. This guy, like, I want tacos all the time. And it's hilarious. She was looking for some cute song that's sort of like Baby Shark, but about tacos. But instead, she found this other song. Jess, if you find it, it's got some words in it that will need editing, but we'll have to remember. Because, Jess, I was honestly thinking that instead of pizza, maybe we start ordering tacos. Because this song gets you so wanting to eat tacos. Okay. I'm sorry. I digress. Well, thank you very much for jumping on the phone in the middle of the night. To talk about the Tata Top a little bit, your company that you bought a full year ago now, more than a year ago?
Almost a full year, yeah. On November 1st, it'll be year one.
Year one anniversary. Well, congratulations. Has it been a good year?
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been crazy. I've learned just so much and... yeah, it's been awesome.
Good. So we have you on the phone today because we talked about the Tata Top recently and visited with you. But there's a story in the news that three New Hampshire women are taking the issue of women's topless equality all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Tell us a little bit about what's going on out there.
Yeah. So this is so interesting to me, and especially, you know, being passionate about this topic. There's three women in New Hampshire. Like you said, they're asking the Supreme Court to declare a city ordinance in their local area where they're from in New Hampshire that, just like Chicago, bans toplessness. And this all started back in 2016 when one of these ladies was doing yoga topless on a local beach, and she was arrested. Then just a couple days later, two other women went out to the same beach, and they were topless as well, and that was in protest and solidarity with the first woman. And then all three women, they were arrested as well, and all three women ended up challenging those arrests, and they worked their way through all the court systems in New Hampshire, including the state Supreme Court. And unfortunately, earlier this year, they found out that they lost that appeal. So they're going to continue appealing that decision. And now they're asking the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, to hear their appeal and consider the issue when their term begins again in October. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. So these three women are taking it all the way to the top to really continue pushing the issue and hope to get some clarity and hope to have the Supreme Court, you know, validate them in saying you can't have a law that treats men and women differently. You know, it's just fundamentally discriminatory. So that's basically the basis of kind of where they're coming from.
So I know that, you know, in general, everything should be equal. Men and women should be treated equally. Women and men are different in some ways, physically, right? And you guys can have babies. We can't do that. There's certain things that are a little bit different about the male and female body. One is the breasts. Now, we have hypersexualized the breasts over the years, and we view them as sexual things, even though people would argue that they're there to serve a function to feed children, and that's how they should be looked at. In Europe, it's very normal. Whenever I go to Mexico on a trip, there's people who are topless all the time because that's kind of the norm over there, is that people bathe topless, and we see that all the time overseas. It's, for whatever reason, not what the norm is here. Why is it important that it become the norm? And if it was allowed, do you think it would really be used, or is it more just the idea that women are not allowed where men are that kind of drives this and drives people crazy, that it's ridiculous that it's not allowed? I don't see a lot of women suddenly walking around topless if it was allowed. I think this is more of a just, hey, this is discriminatory. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the whole point. Yeah, women should be allowed to have the same choices as men is, I think, really kind of the bottom line. If they can, you know, people ask me all the time, as having the ta-ta top, you know, if do you even really want equality on this issue? Do you really even want for these bans to be taken down? Because then wouldn't you go out of business? I'm like, no way. Not everybody, of course I want that. Not everybody does want to be topless. But I think people recognize it's really silly that they couldn't, if they wanted to, you know, in a proper setting. It's not like you're going topless, like going to the grocery store.
Right.
I mean, I'm not really seeing topless men in the grocery store.
Well,
so, you know, I mean, I'm fine with that.
We've all seen the no shoes, no shirt, no service signs. I mean, in general,
right.
No store wants anybody topless. That's weird, right?
Right. I don't want anyone topless around the food I'm going to be eating soon. But there's places where it is appropriate, like at a beach or in that kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Basically anywhere where, you know, a woman should be able to. And I mean, frankly, even among different genders, there's a wide range of body shapes and types and expressions. So you can have be a man and essentially have breasts. And be able to
yes, we
be
do
topless.
Sometimes, yes. It's very frustrating for us.
and that's just the truth. And so it's just like, oh, okay, well, because your driver's license does one thing, that's okay. We're all okay with that. But if my driver's license does this, then, you know, maybe comparatively there's not a huge difference. But for me, I could get a ticket, you know. I think people just find that really silly. And
I think the basic fact is 95% of people don't really love their bodies enough to go topless, men included. I mean, most people don't really want to show off what they've got. We're all mostly past the age where it was, you know, that great to begin with. It's more about the equality of it all.
Right.
So it's very interesting to see what will happen. Do you think that the Supreme Court, think there's any chance the Supreme Court will actually hear this?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's an issue that when people say it out loud, they're like, you know, why would the Supreme Court waste their time talking about toplessness? You know, I could see them not taking it up, but at the same time, I could also see, you know, possibly them wanting to set a precedent or something. I feel like this issue illustrates also just kind of like highlights the ridiculousness of it all, that we even want, you know, that this issue persists to the degree that we continue to want it to, or it has to clog up court systems and waste, I feel like, valuable public resources to defend something that, you know, that I feel is unjust and that these women feel is unjust. So I hope that they do take it up. But if they don't, I'm happy that at least that it's, you know, drawing that national conversation and pushing the issue further.
Lindsay, have you looked into the history of toplessness in America at all? I'm wondering why in Europe it is so common and just, you know, like not even thought of. And here it is we have like this puritanical, my God, we can't see the breast.
Right. I mean, I think it has a lot to do with American attitudes and culture and things like that. I mean, men also used to not be able to be topless. So after, you know, many years ago in the early 1900s, I believe, you know, they had to wear like one piece swimsuits just like women did at the beach, and they fought for their right to be topless. And this was during the time that world wars were happening, and there was so much going on in the world, kind of similar. Well, thank God there's no world wars happening now, but there is a lot happening in America and around the world. And yet at their time when it was busy as well, you know, they pushed for their rights to do it, and they got it. And now it's the norm for men to be topless. And so I do feel, you know, on one hand, that history shows that things can change, but it's such a different battle when it comes to women for whatever reason.
Have you ever thought about making a full-size shirt version? Like, we see the shirts with the abs that guys wear. Like, I would never wear a ta-ta top, but if you had a ta-ta shirt, maybe a guy's
yeah.
version, I would think about wearing that.
That's a good idea. I definitely have thought of that. We do have some shirts that... Well, they have a bad word on the front, so I won't say it, but it says censorship makes me flip my, and then a bad word. I mean, you can actually flip the shirt up, and there's printed boobs underneath. So that's a fun one. But, yeah, I love your idea.
A texter from 847 says Fort Collins, Colorado recently passed a law making it legal for women to be topless in public.
Yes, they just did a really awesome thing where they had a topless ban and they repealed it. So that's a really, really a great positive move.
If bans were repealed, if the Supreme Court heard and say, yeah, this is silly, what do you think that would mean in America? Do you think that would play out well, that suddenly women are showing up at beaches topless once in a while? Or do you think that would cause, I worry about how that would play out.
I feel like if that's the worst thing that is happening right now, then we're all in great shape.
I'm not saying it would be the worst thing by any means.
I'm just saying
that it could be. I just don't know how people would handle that. Honestly, Lindsay, I would bet that a lot of the pushback you get is from women themselves. Women that are like, what is she? Because my guess is, and I don't know this, you tell me if I'm wrong, but the whole other side of this is breastfeeding in public, and women get all this heat over breastfeeding in public, which is ridiculous. And but I'm guessing that a lot of the times the people yelling at them are other women.
I mean, yeah, you see this kind of thing all the time where it's like people within, you know, one group where you think we're trying to help women here, like we're trying to get equality, and you know, why wouldn't you want that? But it's similar to the breastfeeding thing, and I think it's similar to so other things where it's like you don't have to make that choice. You know what I mean? Like, but you should have the choice to make it. You know, you don't have to take off your top. You don't have to go topless anywhere. You don't ever have to do that, and you don't even have to support it. But I believe that, you know, they should have the right. So I think if it did become, you know, the law, then I'm sure you would see pushback. But that's the thing with any change. I mean, there's always going to be some people who don't agree with it. There's always going to be people that, you know, push back against it. But I think, you know, we should still strive to move in the right direction of having equality for everybody in terms of the law.
It's getting cooler out. It's not going to stay warm for much longer. So if you want to get a ta-ta top to get out and show off before summer is completely over, now's the time to do it. Is tatatop.com the best place for people to do that, Lindsay?
Yep, they can go right to the tatatop.com and get their top there.
So the tatatop.com?
Yeah.
Throw the in front of it, everybody. The tatatop.com. How much does each one cost?
They're $34.99, and $3 from each purchase goes to our charity partners at Keep a Breast Foundation and the Chicago Women's Health Center.
And how much has the company donated over the years so far?
Over $40,000 in the 5 years that we've been in business. So that's super exciting, and we've been able to make a lot of great donations this year, so it's been awesome.
And explain for everybody, if they haven't seen it, if it's the first time they're hearing of it, the Tata Top is basically a bikini top that the cups are painted to look like breasts with nipples, although they're actually male breasts, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a bikini top that gives the illusion of toplessness. It has nipples printed on it. It comes in three different tones, light, medium, and dark. And we call the nipples that we, you know, print on them male nipples is kind of a way to, you know, get away with it and to just, you know, draw attention to kind of the absurdity of it.
I see. Are they actually male nipples, or are they actually an artist's rendering of nipples, or is it a picture from an actual nipple?
No, they're not. It's not a picture of real nipples. It's, you know, it was created in like a software program. So, yeah, very artistic.
these aren't real nipples. These are artistic nipples. You can tell the officer as he walks up to you on the beach. Okay, thetatatat.com for more information or to order online and get it delivered. You said $34.99, Linz?
Yep.
$34.99, thetatatat.com, donating money to a lot of great places. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us. It's great to talk to you again.
Yes, great. Always great to talk to you, Matt. Thank you so much.
All right, Lindsay, we'll talk again soon. Get some sleep. It's 4:23 in the morning. We've got more to do. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN.
Taco man. Taco man. Let's taco buddy. Taco, taco, taco buddy. Tacos on my mind. Tacos on my mind. I want tacos all the damn time. With my mind, that's what tacos is. Tacos on my mind. I want tacos all the damn time. Tacos on my mind. Tacos on my mind. I want tacos all the damn time. With my mind, that's what tacos is. Tacos on my mind. I want tacos.
All right, I got to turn it off now before he starts cursing. Because then he says a couple of bad words, but that song, I just love that song.
You find that mesmerizing?
I do. And it makes me want tacos. We got to find an all-night taco spot.
That'll one that's open until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, that'll deliver some tacos.
Jeez.
Let's get some tacos.
Oh, stop with the tacos.
Not tonight. We have pizza.
I don't do...
Don't tell me you don't do tacos.
I do, but a wimpy version.
A wimpy version?
Wimpy version.
So what, Taco Bell?
No. God, please. No. No.
What's a wimpy version?
So either a hard or a soft shell. Doesn't matter.
Jess just found somebody that delivers tacos all night, I think.
Uh-oh. She's all excited about it.
There's a place off Kinsey. They're open until 3. It says, order tacos. They also have really good cocktails, apparently.
They deliver?
Is it Taco Burrito King?
No, it's Bar Burrito something.
All right, find out if they deliver. Bill, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, this goes back a little while. I tried to get in order when you guys are talking about the TV shows, you know, the
Cubs Network,
the Cub games and stuff and that on TV. Well, you know, Roger mentioned Amazon. You know, Amazon doesn't carry the Cub games on ABC. You know, like if Channel 7 carries the Cub games, they run nothing but info commercials. They're not allowed to run it. And even their ABC here in Chicago, they can't run the show Windy City Live because of music rights. But the thing I'm really calling about, do you know that September 30th, if you got AT&T, UVerse, Direct, or anything connected to AT&T, on the 30th of September, unless they get their contract settled, you're going to lose all your ABC affiliates on cable.
Yeah.
Because they're going to cut off ESPN, Disney Channel, ABC 7. You're not going to see Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune, any of those, or any of the local shows like Good Morning America. None of that stuff will be on.
All right. Thank you so much for the update, Bill. I really appreciate it. We got to get to the news here in a second, so I'm going to stop you there. And I will just say that all of the cable providers and the dish providers get in fights with ABC and Fox and all of these people. They'll pull the stations from the air for a week or two while they hardball negotiate with each other, and then it'll be back on your provider. That's pretty safe to say, wouldn't you say, Roger?
Yeah, pretty much.
This happens all the time. It happens all the time.
All the time.
Till somebody gives in.
And we end up paying. Right?
We always pay.
Well, of course.
What don't we pay for?
Air.
Air? Yet.
Yet.
Pritzker's looking into it.
Yeah.
By the way, I was in South Carolina. I had to refill up the rental car this morning.
Uh-huh.
Gas was $2.19 a gallon.
Oof.
And I thought, oh, I wonder how much more expensive. But I was just, I'd completely forgotten how much we just jacked up the taxes.
Yeah.
If we didn't have all these taxes and the extra taxes, our gas would be, I paid around $2.75, $2.80 out in West Dundee. So without all those taxes that we just added on, that'd be down to like $2.60 probably, right?
Yeah.
I'm
paying over $3, I think.
Well, yeah.
Or $2.90 maybe.
I mean, downtown here is probably like $3.40.
Well, I mean, on the north side, but I'm still in the city.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. It is 4:31 in the morning. Let's get some headlines now with Mr. Badish.
Wasting away.
Six in the morning. We've got Orion Samuelson coming up with the morning show here in just a little bit. Don called in for a comment on 720 WGN. Hey, Don, how are you this morning?
Not too bad. I was listening to the sentencing of Felicity Huffman, and what you have to realize is that in 2011, there was a case called Tapia versus USA, which challenged the sentencing of for different crimes. What was the reason? And the reason was punishment. The Supreme Court unanimously decreed that the purpose of sentencing and the length of a sentence is punishment, not rehabilitation, not anything else, but to serve as the example. And this is written, the actual brief that was written after that was by Sotomayor. So.
Interesting. That, so the judge could argue this.
And why do I know this? Because my own case came up like that. And that was the reason why I got out early, too, because I had been punished enough, basically. They weren't offering me any, quote, rehabilitation things, because there was there's a discrepancy between the Department of Justice and the prisons, which are many times privately held, as to what constitutes rehabilitation and what constitutes punishment. So,
Fascinating. All right, Don, thank you very much for sharing. I appreciate it.
And that's what they're doing. They're probably just, quote, punishing them. Maybe you could actually cite that from 2011. So.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much. We appreciate you calling in. 438, as we said. I'm looking at Yahoo. We're thinking, get the last 20 minutes here. What are we going to read? And what drives me nuts about Yahoo is I used to love Yahoo as a website because they had all sorts of news stories. You could find different stories from all these different sources. But unfortunately now, they have a lot of stories from, like, really just clickbaity stuff.
Yeah.
So you see a headline, you think that's interesting, and then you click on it. And so there's a headline... experts in forensic might finally uncover the mystery behind Amelia Earhart's disappearance. But that's what I clicked on when I'm on the previous...
Would you get like a bunch of ads or to buy a news report or something?
No. So here's the headline. This is hilarious. So the headline as you scroll down is Amelia Earhart's plane found. Diver says he saw her. Experts have made a shocking discovery that has unveiled the mystery lurking around the strange disappearance of Amelia Earhart. So that's what they show.
Yeah.
And then the picture that's with it looks like there's a diver. It's underwater. It looks like a plane. And it looks like they're taking an old body out of the plane. I don't know if this is a completely Photoshop photo or from something else or what the heck it is. Mm-hmm. But it looks like this body that's clearly been underwater for a long time coming out of this plane. As if, almost 100 years later, there'd still be a body to take out of the plane.
Well, yeah, and the fact that nobody, even those who have been searching for her, have been able to find anything. And then all of a sudden, this one diver, oh, look, there's a plane and a body. Yeah.
Then another headline, diver spots Amelia Earhart's lost airplane, faints. And wow. Now I'm going to take a look at the story, and I'm sure it's going to be 18 pages of background, and then you have to click on the next page, so all the ads reload, and blah, blah, blah.
Or suddenly you'll say, thanks for reading this page. If you want to continue reading, please subscribe.
God, it drives me nuts. I hate this.
Oh, God.
And then there's going to be no story, because Robert Ballard just went and apparently found really nothing.
First world problems. You got to pay for that page you want to read.
That's true.
I mean, it wouldn't be so bad. I wouldn't mind paying for it if it hadn't been free for the last 20 years.
I don't mind paying for it from credible sites. I do subscribe.
Yeah.
We home subscribe to the Chicago Tribune, so I have their digital, which is an insane cost for the home delivery of the Tribune. It's crazy. But I want my kids to be around newspapers, so I pay for it. And then I do digitally subscribe now to the New York Times.
Oh, okay.
Because they have a lot of stories and a lot of long-form good stories that are really interesting. Yeah. So,
and a lot of that doesn't get on the website, unfortunately.
Well, I think it's all on their website.
Well,
I think it's
and
all
I
on their
website. I haven't looked in a long time, but I've looked and I've known that there were certain stories in the print edition and gone to look at the print edition, and either it's a shortened story or the photos are missing.
Oh, are you saying that
the
stories online don't all make it into the print edition?
No, that the stories on the print edition all don't make it into the digital edition.
I can't imagine that's true these days, because they've got nothing.
Well, like I said, it's been a while.
I could see the other way around. But I don't know.
Yeah, we get a paper delivered, and then I read the other paper online. But I think we're opposite of you. You get the Trib delivered?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get the Sun-Times delivered, and we get and I get the Trib online.
Yeah.
So,
about how much does Sun-Times delivery cost?
You know, I can't remember. It's like an automatic deduction thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't even pay attention to it.
That's how they get you.
And we got it mainly because Bridget convinced me to support the newspaper.
Yeah,
you know, they were they had a lot of labor problems. There was a concern that they would go out of business.
Yeah,
and so she wanted to support them, and rightly
so. That's good. That's kind of why I still buy the Tribune, even though I think their business model is very bad because they. It's like they just don't want you to do home delivery. They charge so much for it that it's almost like ridiculous to bother when you could do like $9.99 a month online.
Right. I'm just wondering, and because we all know that the most costly fee, the most costly cost
is the newsprint.
Is it's humans. Well. It's people. So now you have the delivery people, you have, they have to drive around the cars, they get gas, you've got the people at the plant who have to load everything on the trucks.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to put in the delivery, also newsstands. It's mm-hmm. the same thing, you're making a delivery, you're just putting them in the newsstand. So you still have people sending it. You're sending people out, and the biggest cost of any company is people.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, there's a lot fewer working at the Trib than there used to be. Same thing at the Sun-Times, that's for sure.
That's true. That's true. It's a shame.
It is a shame. I saw that, was it Rick Pearson or Ray Long? Somebody from the Trib posted some photos of an update on the... If you look at the back of the tower building, at the old buildings towards the back, they are changing that around.
Somebody posted something about there used to be a newsroom here.
Yeah, it's like
whose
the back
was
of that,
that
building?
God, I'm trying to remember. I saw it the other day.
Thought it was Ray Long or Rick Pearson or somebody.
It might have been Ray Long.
Yeah.
And that was like, from the backside, from the parking lot side.
From the backside, they're like bricking up all those back windows.
Yeah.
And carved out a lot of it because they're going to put a courtyard in there for all the residents of those very fancy homes. I hope to have some.
Very fancy.
B's on the phone. Hey, B, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I just want you to know that I ordered the Tribune, and it only costs 22 cents a week for the Sunday paper.
What?
Yeah.
22 cents?
22 cents a week for the Sunday paper, and it gives you carte blanche to the digital version.
B.
I can't read it every day. I just want those coupons and those pretty magazines inside.
Okay. But 22 cents? Where did you get that deal?
They offered it to me.
They offered you 22 cents for weekend delivery plus unlimited digital.
Uh-huh.
Are you sure you didn't miss something in the fine print?
No, because it was like $12 for the year, so do the math.
Well, maybe I need to cancel my subscription and see if they come back with a heck of an offer.
Or Bristol, Wisconsin. You guys remember me from last weekend, right?
Yeah, oh, that's right. So I wonder if there's a special deal in Wisconsin.
Yeah, because they're trying to get us back, but...
Maybe that's the deal, Roger. Maybe in Wisconsin they can sell it for 22 cents, but here it's $120 because of the taxes.
I have no idea.
It could be.
I'm telling you, I have no idea, but I just missed Chicago and the Chicago area so much, I bit straight down.
Well, and you would think I would, too, for 22 cents.
Yeah.
Right, because if I cash in one 50-cent Tide coupon, boom.
It's like the Trib is paying you to read the paper.
Exactly.
Well, that's what you get for having to put up with Cass, though.
All right. But also, I want to tell you guys, I was a print journalist. I'm a retired print journalist.
Well, thank you very much for your...
I'm a copywriter.
Okay.
Nice.
Like, BuyBA.com. No.
You are Peggy Olson.
No, I was the associate editor at the Great Lakes Bulletin at the Naval Base.
Very cool.
And I'm so happy to hear you guys' voices. It's the most happy.
Signals
most
coming in clear up there.
Thing I heard since last week, and I'm glad everybody sounds better. And have you yet tried the pickle pizza in Indiana?
No, I haven't been back to Indiana yet.
I know. It's like you have to bring 17 people. Who could eat more than one slice of that?
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to be honest, I don't think I'm ever trying the pickle pizza.
Okay, you guys didn't even do any research. I gave you guys a tip.
You're married to us. In one ear, out the other.
Here's what you're doing. You were having those flasks engraved for all the groomsmen.
I was?
Well, somebody should be. You got a best man or not?
Wait a minute. I'm not getting married. I am married. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, you're the other
guy. You're talking about Carmen? Mark Carmen?
Oh, he was kind of crying.
Sounds like Carm. Yeah.
Sounds like Carmen. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I tuned in late.
It's okay, B. That's okay. I appreciate it.
Roger knows who I am.
I know who you are. I did talk to you last week. You did call the show last week.
I did.
You did. Yeah.
I remember you were talking to me about my brother.
Yes.
Now you remember, too. All right, B. Thank you so much.
I know. And I said, God bless you and your family. Stop, stop, stop.
All right, have a great weekend, B. Thank you so much. Elizabeth is on 720 WGN. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi, Matt. This is the first time I'm calling you. I usually call Nick.
Well, thank you for calling us.
I have very bad news. Okay. My little newspaper from Riverside, The Landmark, published that they are going to cease publication because of costs. I read 5 newspapers a day. I buy them at the local Amstar.
Good.
You know why? Everybody's looking at their hands.
Yeah, everybody's looking down at their phones. I love holding a newspaper in my hands. I love having the actual newspaper. And if I had more time, I'd love to have a Sunday with the New York Times, a Wall Street Journal, and a Chicago Tribune. I think that'd be a great way to spend a day.
Since I was 5 years old, I can remember having newspapers in the house. I remember the Herald Examiner, the Chicago Sun, the Times. Oh, and then when I moved here to Riverside, I found out I lived next door to the managing editor of the, what was the afternoon paper?
Chicago Today?
No.
Chicago America.
No.
Chicago Daily News?
That's it.
Daily News.
He was the managing editor. Bill Kadish was his name.
Mm.
Very cool. Thank you so much for checking in, Elizabeth. Have a great weekend.
You too, darling.
All right.
The Landmark is still online.
Something I saw this week of somebody that announced they're ceasing publication. I didn't know if that was local or not.
It could be that they're ceasing the print. There's a story in here from the 11th. Retooling the way the Landmark works. And 30 years later, time once again for a moment. Let's see here. Threatens futures publishers and newspapers like the Riverside, which Wednesday Journal Inc. purchased in 1997. We don't have a God-given right to keep publishing. You don't have a right to expect a breaking news update in your email or print copy in your mailbox. Not if we all just sit back and think of better days. It's time to open the hood and rebuild the engine. That's what they're doing, crafting a new business model. This is a very long article, and I'm trying to skim through it.
Trevor from Antioch checks in and says he's delivering papers right now. Thank you, Trevor, for listening while you deliver.
Turning to our supporters in these neighborhoods, individuals who grasp the importance, how can you help? Jump in with your active support. Talk up the importance of the Landmark to neighbors. Critique our efforts. Nonprofit journalism is the future of journalism. Here's how you can donate. But it doesn't say that. They don't get into much specifics. More like big words, big ideas.
All right, real quick, one last call. Andy's in Forest Park. Hey, Andy, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment on the newspaper. I'm a CPS teacher.
Okay.
And I grew up, I was reading the paper probably as soon as I could read. Definitely in junior high, I couldn't wait to get my hands on the Tribune and the Sun-Times. Mm-hmm. Just to read the sports and whatever, the politics, whatever I could get. The kids now don't even know what the heck a newspaper is, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, I believe it.
It is crazy. If they're not on their phones or if it's not on Snapchat, they don't even regard what's going on. And I don't even think they care too much, for the most part, what's going on with some of the things going on in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? In fairness to the kids today, when I was growing up and I went to Mount Carmel High School in Chicago, I didn't really care what was going on in Chicago. But like you, I read the Trib, or God, I remember there was, for a short amount of time when we were growing up, there was a daily sports paper that came out. Oh, God. It was called The National. And it was like a USA Today sports, just a sports paper. It was a tabloid like the Sun-Times, and it was pretty small, but it was a daily paper, lasted probably only a year or so. But okay. Yeah, I grew up starting out loving reading Calvin and Hobbes in the funnies and reading the sports page. And when my son just went off to college this year, he said he's really going to miss having the newspaper there every day. And I was very proud of that and thought it was worth the insane amount of money I'm spending every 3 months on the Tribune.
Well, I might can save you some money because the last time that I got the Trib delivered, I think like the lady said before, Bridget, they have a deal just about if you go to, I think I got mine at the Chicago Auto Show.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just got the home delivery for the Sunday paper. It was like you said, 22 cents, I think, for the whole, I think I got mine 14 months for like, it was like $13.
Get out of here. But that's Sunday only?
It's only Sunday. I think they had... they might have had a Sunday. I know they used to have a Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, yeah. But I don't know if they still offer that. It was for like slightly more.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're that's what I got. And I think they gave me a T-shirt or a Bears nice. Jacket or something with it. So.
Yeah, I might have to switch to that plan soon. Andy, thank you so much for checking in. We got to get going. You have a great weekend. We've got Orion Samuelson coming up next. And then Roger with the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN. Won't you take me away? Well, thank you for staying up all night with us, everybody. We're happy to be here to serve you every week here on the Matt Bubala Show from 1 to 5 a.m. You can find us online at the Matt Bubala Show on Facebook and at Matt Bubala on Twitter and, oh, once in a great while at Matt Bubala on Instagram. Our friend Roger Badish can be found online. Where, Rog?
You just search Roger Badish on Facebook, Teacher RB on Twitter, and Roger Badish on Instagram.
We will be back next weekend. I believe the week after that, I need to request a weekend off. As I said, we're going to go visit Jack up in Nebraska, go see the Ohio State game. But other than that,
that in like 2 weeks?
It's the one at the end of the month, like the 28th. So
yeah,
maybe I'm
2 weeks.
For 2 more weeks?
2 weeks, yeah.
Or 2 weeks from tonight.
2 weeks from tonight, you'll
okay.
be gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I need to put that request officially in.
Yes, you do.
And all you people that give me a hard time about missing, I may have been here like 4 whole weeks in a row, so maybe even more.
Like, count your blessings.
Very proud of myself.
Yes.
Hard, working hard.
Hardest working man in radio.